morning, Columbus.
Yo, that ain't good enough. Come on, Joe!
Wake up! Don't miss one!
Frizzle left tight, FY, pass 37, punch, waggle, help, baby, dizzy, X-Fan on the turbo.
Thank you, baby!
Football, man.
It's time to listen to a bald, fat, loudmouth.
Mr. T-Bone.
And a former football player.
And that ball intercepted by Tyrus Powell.
Wow, no radio station has ever done that before.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. But it might work for us.
Welcome to T-Bone and Tybus.
Happy Wednesday. Chilly one today. I mean, relatively speaking. Got up this morning, put the sweatshirt on, the jeans on. Yesterday I was wearing, stupidly, like a short-sleeved shirt and shorts, and I was just freezing all day. I don't know why I did that.
Bodie's in shorts.
Bodie's always in shorts. Bodie, I've seen him wear jeans like two times.
In my defense, it gets really hot in this studio.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
It gets pretty cold in your guys's. It gets hot over here.
And I think I may have wore jeans to this radio station to do like a show maybe twice.
You're always in joggers.
Yes.
Yeah. Or shorts.
This has been my life since I was in like the 11th grade. Like,
that must be nice. Sweats. Be a pro athlete. A college athlete, then a pro athlete. They just give you all the gear.
There's only one pro athlete I know that will always wear jeans. Josh Perry is the only one.
You mean Joshua Perry?
No, like I said, Josh Perry is the only one who will get up. Mm-hmm. Like, we got class and stuff, people to go and put on sweats and just go to class. He would walk in there with jeans. He says he has jeans that he specifically wears to take naps in. Hmm. Serial killer behavior.
I mean, Joshua has a lot of interesting candy ideas.
Well,
I remember
he has a peanut allergy, so he can't eat a lot of the good stuff anyway.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's odd because I think he said one of the best snacks or one of the best Halloween candies, if I'm not mistaken, in his top three was circus peanuts, which obviously are not peanuts. They are the orange chalk disguised as candy.
Josh is trolling.
I know he is.
I think he's trolling.
I know. He got very frustrated when we did Pizza Madness because that Cheshire Market is, I guess, up near him.
Oh, yeah. I just had that last week.
What'd you think of it?
Oh, it's really good. I've been eating that for a while.
See?
It tastes similar to JT's.
Okay. Well, that's high praise because JT's is awesome pizza. But he said that that's the best pizza. He was mad that we didn't advance it in Pizza Madness. So next year,
Did you try it?
No, I did. I wanted to, but we looked and actually thought about driving up there to get it. And it was the day of it being on the vote. And I said, I can't get up there.
Oh, you should have told me. It's literally right around the corner.
Well, bring
me
some. You know what?
I don't know how hot it's going to be.
Call them up at 4 a.m. Say, hey, can you get a pizza ready for us in the morning? Let's go. I know you got people going up there fishing. They get out there early. Just turn on those ovens. Make a pizza. Hey, let's go.
They could do it.
It is obviously T-Bone and Tybus. Hope you're having a good morning. Plenty to get to today. We have the huddle coming up at 7. Lots of NFL discussion. We'll talk about the NFL in the Olympics. That's a thing that apparently is now happening. But last night in the hockey, Panthers took game 1, Eastern Conference Finals. They really destroyed Carolina. It wasn't even that close. It was 5-2. Empty netter kind of made it look a little bit better.
They're going to win it all, aren't they?
They won it last year. Goalie Bob had 33 stops. Sergei Bobrovsky, number one cop on the force, doing his job,
making it
happen.
The former Blue Jacket.
Oh, yeah. He was there. I'm conflicted with the Panthers.
How does that make you feel when you like see former players that play for your team that leave, that maybe or may not force their way out? And they go to other teams. Do you root for them?
I mean, it hurts because you think, what if we still had him, right? What if he was still here? And honestly, an earlier version of me would have said, I can't root for them because of that. I'm rooting for Carolina.
Okay.
But now I've gotten to a point with goalie Bob where I do feel like at the time he kind of chose to leave, there were good reasons to look at. And a lot of these guys, even going back to, we talked about Adam Foote the other day, guy who's going to take over Vancouver, their head coach. Boo this man. And rightfully so, because the way he did it was just classless. However, the principle of, I don't know if we can win here. You know what? Back then, he was probably right. Adam Foote was probably right.
Was Patrick Laine right? No. He's the most recent that I can think of.
No,
that
Patrick.
I can't win here. I can't.
Patrick Laine, it turned out, was when he left, everything got better. Like, so if you talk to people over there, they don't necessarily want to say it on the record, but everybody that I've talked to over there says, hey, you know, we wish him well, hope for the best. What do you know? The locker room just seems like 1,000,000% better now that he's gone. So that's a little different.
Where did he go again?
Montreal. Oh, yeah, right. they were okay.
Yeah,
he was or whatever. They remember they were the ones that the Jackets, as we were coming down to the wire, Jackets needed them to lose like 5 in a row, yeah. And they lost like 4 in a row. Yeah. And then that last damn game, they finally picked it up. And it's like, of course
they didn't play Carolina. I think it was they didn't play their starters.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but Carolina got theirs last night. They got taken care of by the Jackets South because Seth Jones is there too. But it's also weird because I can't stand Brad Marchand, who's like he played for Boston for years. He's annoying. He's a douche. Everyone hates him. Unless he's on your team, then you realize this guy is tremendous. He's one of the best players in the NHL, but he always just gets under people's skin. So he's on that Panthers team and I don't like him. So that's a little tough for me.
Mm.
I also saw in this game, one of the Carolina guys went at goalie Bob, kind of gave him a dirty shot. Did you see this?
I did not.
So goalie Bob made a save in the crease and he covers up the puck and he's bent over. His head is pointed down. One of the guy who shot it, I forget what his name is off the top of my head, but he skates in with his leg and knee kind of extended and just clips goalie Bob right in the helmet.
And how did he respond to that?
He fell over because he got knocked over. And then he, after the game, had something to say. It was a close play. What are you going to do? It's probably not the biggest deal.
It was
Svechnikov. That's who did it.
Andrei Svechnikov. I cannot play hockey because I wouldn't let it go.
Well, I mean, I don't think his teammates did, and I don't think they're going to forget about it. Bob said after the game, he said, it's okay. It's the playoffs. They try to get under the skin. I just focus on my things, try not to think about that.
Well, it would have worked. T-Bone, if I'm out there on that ice and I'm playing hockey and somebody just slams me into the glass, I can't just say, oh, that's what it is, and just go and continue to play hockey. No. I will hunt him down.
Oh,
it's not even about the puck no more.
Well, that's they have guys that do that. They come on the ice. And yeah, it's like the next shift. They go looking for someone. And it's even great. I love to. We talked one of my previous stops. I used to work in Dayton. And we had a minor league hockey team there that we would bring in guys. I think they were called the Dayton Gems, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they're a thing anymore.
Okay.
But some of the minor league guys came in and I asked them about fighting. Like, how do you work that out? And they're like, oh yeah, we have to teach the young guys how to fight because there are like rules to it. Like certain guys know, oh, you don't fight this dude. You go over to this other guy and then you ask him like, hey man, you want to go? And the other guy will say, yeah, I'm ready to go. And so then the next time the puck is in play, they'll just throw the gloves down and start going.
Maybe turning it. What's the guy?
They have a little conference about it. Like, let's go. Are you right? And then they know you don't just like kick him in the balls.
It's a guy on the Blue Jackets that's like, he like never loses the fight. Wasn't Matthew?
Matthew Olivier.
Olivier.
One tough SOB.
Yeah.
You don't mess with him.
Yeah, he's the guy that ain't nobody.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. But he's good, too. Like, he can actually play the game. He's not just a guy out there just skating around looking to headhunt. But he can play. That's the nice thing about what the Jackets have right now is they've got a tough, young core of good players who can actually skate, who can do things, who can rough you up on defense a little bit, who can have some skill in the offensive end. Now you got to add that top line offensive skill to add to some of the guys you already have.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, they're set up. Like, they just need to make a few additions and fix goaltending. That's issue number one this offseason for the Jackets. Please fix the goaltending, because that would look what it did last night. Not that Carolina was playing well. Goalie Bob kept just snuffing out everything. Power plays, they couldn't do anything. And then, after a while, in that first period, Florida got a couple goals off. Like, they weren't really controlling the play, but they found a couple goals. Suddenly, they're up 2-0. Building was quiet.
Are you insinuating that the Jackets should have Elvis leave the building?
Oh, I think I'm not insinuating it. Let me be very clear. Please don't ever have him play for the Jackets again. Not my guy. Okay? There. Let me be very crystal clear.
I've met Elvis before.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Great guy.
Here's what I know about Elvis. Has some good games. Has some streaks where you just go, what the hell is happening? Occasionally gets the stomach flu and That's and then he'll have like a performance that makes you go, oh my gosh, where is this all the time?
Yeah.
But you just don't get it enough. So that's bad. Oh, and the other side of it, NBA was last night, Thunder and T-Wolves.
It did exactly what I said what was going to happen. I said,
you were right.
I told people, and people laughed at me. I said, take the under on Anthony Edwards tonight, because I think that Thunder defense is just going to be locked in on him.
I thought
it
first half.
26 and a half.
He had 14 or something in the first half, and I thought, oh, this, if they play like this in the second half, and then the second half, no. Thunder, Thunder outscored the T-Wolves 70-40. It was a 4-point lead for Minnesota going into halftime, and then that was over.
Yeah, they got to figure something. I was listening to Anthony Edwards after the game talk, and he said, you know, we got to watch the tape. We got to figure something out. He said, because when I got the ball, they're sending double teams, and they're blitzing me, and it's making me get the ball out of my hands. So he wants to work on being more off ball, and he said he's got to take more than 13 shots.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, there's nothing really else to say. Oklahoma City, if their defense plays like that, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets to the foul line as much as he does.
Win. Like, yeah, it's tough. There is nothing.
It feels done after one game. That's what's bad.
I don't want that.
I hope not.
I don't think the T-Wolves have enough offensively. It's literally Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. And Julius Randle went for 28 points last night, and they still got routed.
Yeah, it was bad. By the way, I meant to ask you, did you eat all of that honey bun last night or yesterday when you're driving to Cleveland? Did you eat the big cinnamon roll that I gave you?
Yep. I did sit-ups, too.
Yeah, how delicious was it?
It was fine.
Aren't you glad that I gave you that?
No.
No, it was delicious.
No, there's other things I could have.
Don't worry.
Trail mix, other things like that.
No. There's so many things up there, Tyvus, that I have for you. We played yesterday. We debuted a thing called... it's a new segment. It's sweeping the nation. It's called Tyvus Eats a Thing Maybe. Tyvus Eats a Thing Maybe. 0-for-1 in this game so far.
Yeah.
You got the price wrong yesterday. You had to eat the food. Maybe. I'm not saying we'll do it again today. We probably won't. But you never know. That could pop up anytime. So just be aware. And I'm going to find even better. Less healthy things for you.
I need to go up to the fan cafe and just look at prices.
Nope. So not allowed. I have a security guard up there. He will not let you up there. We're going to stop it. The NFL is putting your favorite players in the Olympics. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. The road's looking a little bit tricky this morning. That's because we had some fog come into the area. Over in Powell and Worthington, your commute, though, looking good. 270 westbound and eastbound looking up to par, but your drive times. But again, a traffic camera happening at US 23 at Lewis Center Road, looking a little bit low with visibility. So, of course, if you're heading out into the area, make sure to take it nice and slow. I'm 10 TV's Brian Albizu with your fan traffic.
Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Oh, yeah, he does. You can tweet at us at Bone and Tyvus 971. Tyvus is, I don't know, are you still harboring goals of trying to get to the Olympics? With the flag football thing? Is that an actual thing you want to try to do?
The Olympics is 2028?
Yeah. They're going to have flag football.
It gives me 3 years to lose 30 pounds.
Well, no. Because one, they'll be in the summer of 2028, which is 3 years away. But to get on a team, you have to obviously try out. You then have to play in, like, I'm sure there's some kind of qualification round. Of some kind, there has to be.
But this isn't taking place like now. There's no way.
I'm just saying, it's not three years. It's probably like a year and a half before they start looking for. Let's put the team together. Let's have you guys play together.
I got a year and a half to lose around roughly 30-ish pounds.
Not even that. It could be. Could be right now. You should probably be trying to get your name out there just so people know.
I feel like that's not true because you're gonna make. I don't know. Let's say Patrick Mahomes wants to play in this thing. You going to make Patrick Mahomes go through a qualifying round?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're gonna have him try out, and then he'll throw one pass, and they'll go, okay, done. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Also, you're not Patrick Mahomes. So, yes.
Me and Patrick Mahomes' body is similar. Have you seen him with his shirt off?
No. I mean.
His dad, he has a dad bod, too.
Okay. That's fine.
The man looks like he can drink a whole 12 pack.
How many wide receivers is he forced to shut down every single game?
Don't
that's
do
not
that.
His job.
Don't do that.
That's not his job. So what if you had the body of like Joe Thomas when he was playing? Would that mean you could play safety? What are we talking about?
It's all in the technique. I told you about this. You've seen the episode of SpongeBob. Technique.
Technique's fine. It sounds like you're avoiding the question of, do you think you can do it? So the answer is yes. You think you can do it. Is that right?
I know the technique.
Okay.
If I know where you're going, why do I need to be? It doesn't matter how fast or slow I am. I could just meet you there.
Okay. Great. That's good. I hope you meet me at a place that's called reality at some point about your own abilities, because that would be fantastic. Bodie, is he like this all the time, just constantly thinking he can do anything? Is that what we're in for?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I figured.
I would admit to you what if I, like, tennis, couldn't do it. Tennis,
well, that's all right. That's a good place to start.
Robert Cash embarrassed me on Tyvus Tries when I did that.
Who's Robert Cash?
Robert Cash is a tennis player that played here at Ohio State.
Okay.
He's
gotcha.
A really good tennis player. And I learned that day how hard tennis actually is.
Oh, yeah. This is called, what's the name for that? There's some kind of, I think it's, now I can't even think of it. There's a name for that where in science, they found that people like who don't know anything about science, they go, oh, yeah, that's easy to do. Put a rocket in space, no problem. And then they start to learn
for that bonus morons.
It's correct, Bodie. You're exactly right. 100%. Yeah. But then after a while, as you start to learn about how difficult rocket propulsion is, you learn math. You go, wow, it's almost impossible. And you reach this point where you think it's not possible. They can't do it. Then you get smarter and you even learn more and you realize, okay, it is able to be done, but it's very, very difficult. And you actually get an appreciation for what it is. That's what happened with you in tennis.
Yeah.
You watched it from afar and said, easy. Who can't do that?
Well,
and then you did just a little bit of research on it and you went, wow, this is almost impossible.
I didn't realize how hard it is to return a serve. Like,
well, when they're serving you at like 100 miles an hour.
Well, yeah,
plus.
But like, come on now. As I was saying on the video clip, I said, listen, I play baseball. I've seen people pitch right, you know, fast. And yeah. That doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
When he hit that tennis ball, it was on me so fast, I couldn't return it. I couldn't get it back over to net. It was ridiculous.
Dunning-Kruger effect. That's the name of this. And look it up. It's a real thing. As you get closer to learning about a subject, you actually find you're not anywhere close to knowing about it.
But I want a rematch. If Robert Cash is listening, I want a rematch.
All right. Well, we'll try to set that up. Meanwhile, the Olympics are happening in 2028, and now you're going to have competition to get on one of these teams because actual, like, current NFL players are going to be allowed to compete in Olympic flag football. So there's still a lot of questions about how they're going to work this out. One of the biggest hurdles that I see is, they're going to let this happen. Obviously, the NFL wants there to be international competition.
Mm-hmm.
They want to grow the game internationally. But it has been pointed out that most of the Olympics takes place in July and August. That's a very busy time if you're an NFL player trying to get ready for the season.
Yes.
Now, a lot of the guys who probably want to play in this are probably guys who would also not mind missing some of camp if they didn't have to go. The other question is, if you get injured doing this, what happens? Supposedly, the NFL has an insurance policy that they will have that will cover these guys, which is fine for the money aspect of it. But from the fan standpoint, you know, what if your favorite player, your best team, you're like a team that's going to compete. If you're a Bengals fan, Joe Burrow's out there and he gets selected to go and represent the US of A. I'm sure he'd love that opportunity.
How is Joe Burrow going to get hurt in a flag football game?
Joe Burrow, didn't he tweak his Achilles? Remember that? Like, he was in the early part of like a preseason. Remember that where he like tweaked his calf muscle and he couldn't walk for like the whole preseason? That was one of his many preseason injuries he's had over the years. I'm just saying, you can tweak anything. Walking off the field, you can tweak anything.
For some odd reason, I feel like if these guys play at 80%, they would still win.
I mean, that's another argument as to why this may not be. That's why I think the poll question today is spot on. Are you excited about the NFL players being in the Olympics? By the way, the fan poll brought to you by our friends at Caster Connection. Thanks to them for sponsoring it. I think it'll be cool to see some of those players in the Olympics for 5 minutes. This is not going to be, people are calling this the dream team of football. Shut up. It's not the dream team.
I'm trying to figure out what country is actually going to
I have the rankings.
Challenge them for this gold.
Here are the rankings. Go figure. USA, before the NFL guys have jumped in, USA, number one. football's kind of our game. It's the national pastime at this point. Everybody loves football. Most people do. USA takes it seriously. USA's number one. Number two, I was surprised by this one. Austria. Wouldn't have guessed that.
Me either.
Actually, when I glanced at it, I thought it said Australia.
I thought she was going to say Canada, actually.
Well, see, that would make sense. Canada's not in the top five. According to this, this is the men's 2024 final IFAF flag football world rankings. So USA 1, Austria 2, Mexico is third. So a North American country, just not Canada. Germany 4, France 5. Then you have Italy, Switzerland, Israel, Panama. Panama, Ted's favorite country.
Why are they doing Canada?
Japan is
10th.
Canada is nowhere to be found. They have the CFL, for God's sake. What happened to Canada?
That's why.
They just not have a team?
Huh.
Maybe they're too busy trying to get like the CFL to work, and they just are like, no, we can't even flag football. We don't have time for that.
I guess they should definitely take silver in this.
Well, they're not even ranked. So,
well, I guess you know why though. But you know, see, I did the CFL, and a lot of the CFL is NFL.
It's dudes from the U.S. Yeah. Played in college in the U.S. But I mean,
but you could only have a certain amount on the field at one time.
But we talk about in the NBA, right? Like the NBA is also a game that was basketball embedded in America. But you go look at the amount of guys on rosters right now that are from Canada, right? I mean, isn't Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? He's from Canada, am I not mistaken?
Oh, in the NBA,
it's not like, oh, we have so much time for hockey and nothing else in Canada. It's like they have time for basketball.
Yeah.
I thought they had time for football. They seem to love football.
If you look at the NBA, I think the best, top three, top four players in the NBA are not from the U.S. You got Joker, Giannis, Luka, and Shea.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, neither one of them is American.
No, you're exactly right.
So we need to step it up a little bit.
Well, fine. And but that's one of the things, though, like, going back to this NFL thing, I've seen people call this would be the dream team of basketball, except in football. I'll tell you why it's not that and why that's a stupid argument in 2 minutes. Plus, clip that. That's coming up as well. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and welcome to your Wednesday. We are noticing a little bit of diciness on the roads this morning. That's because of some fog in the area. Marysville, you're looking very dicey this morning. You have one of the biggest concerns for fog in that area, particularly on US 33. Westbound, though, looking good with your drive times. But again, want to take it nice and slow on the roads, especially by the Aston Meadows area. US 33, State Route 4, looking a little bit dicey this morning. If you step out the door, again, pack that patience this morning. I'm 10TV's Brian Albizu with the Fan Traffic.
Oh! Listen to that! Son of a... That's unbelievable! Oh, my goodness! Holy smoke! Just incredible!
T-Bone and Tyvus present Clip That.
Sponsored by Prime Sports. Download the Prime Sports Ohio app today or visit online at primesportsbook.com. Receive a 100% match when you deposit up to $400 with the Prime Sports Ohio app.
Sammy, I didn't want to say this in front of the others, but you know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. You want to know what I love?
Beer, Norm?
Yeah, have a quick one.
That's George Wendt, who famously played Norm on Cheers, sadly passed away at the age of 76 yesterday. Dedicate the program to him. Sad to see him pass away. Didn't realize he was only 76. Not that that's young by any stretch of the imagination, but he started on Cheers in 1982. I'm old, and that's the year I was born. So I'm saying, like, Cheers is even something that I saw as a kid, but it wasn't something I was I didn't watch it encyclopedically. I haven't watched all the episodes, but a great show. And it seems like he was a well-loved guy by everybody who knew him. Chicago guy.
Did he say what his death was? Like, how did he go?
I didn't see what it was. They just said that his family had announced he had passed away. They also said that, like, I didn't realize he did Second City. Which is, that's one of the like comedy troupes. It's in Chicago, but a lot of people from Second City have gone on to be on SNL. So that's one of those, you know, he was a comedic actor. He obviously had great timing, all that stuff. But yeah, very good, very, you know, great career. He'll be missed by many, of course. His co-star John Ratzenberger played Cliff on the show. Said it always felt like they were, quote, stealing money because they had so much fun doing the show. Yeah, it's a good thing to hope for, right?
Yeah, it is. Actually.
You have a job that you enjoy that much. That's good. Now, on to the Olympics. Like we were talking about, NFL players going to be involved in the Olympics, and they're going to, the rules are, I'm still trying to fully understand the rules. Because I saw one story that said only one player from NFL teams. Only one player.
That's what I thought it was.
Yes, but then I saw another story that said only one player per country per team. So if you have a guy who happens to have, say, heritage or is from, I don't know, another, like if he's from Spain or something, or his like mom and dad are from Spain or something like that. You know, the Olympics, you can go back a couple generations. Mm-hmm. You might be able to go play for Spain. That might allow you to have a second player gone. So that I need some clarification on that. But
I got you. Now I got you.
Like you've talked about representing Jamaica.
Yes.
But you, I don't.
So me and Patrick Mahomes was on the same, both play for the Chiefs. If he decided he wanted to play for U.S., then that means that I couldn't go play for Jamaica.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to understand. Because one of the articles, I saw CBS Sports said you can have one player per team per country. So then if you have three players who are for three different countries, that would be apparently okay.
Okay.
So like you can't have more than one representative for the U.S. from the Chiefs, but you could have possibly two or three guys for different countries.
If they got different here. Okay. I got you.
Here's the bigger issue. I hear people talking about it's the dream team for football. Adam Schefter's been talking about this. All these NFL guys are just gung-ho about that. It can't be.
Why?
Because did the dream team play horse? Because that's not what they did. They played basketball. They played 5-on-5, yes, with FIBA rules, which means you have a weird, you know, paint area, and you have a ball that's got a different color to it. The three-point line's a little different. Other than that, it's pretty much the same game. You are still playing full court, 5-on-5 basketball.
So because this ain't tackling, live football, they can't be the dream team?
Remember when Kobe Bryant went up against Spain and Pau Gasol was his teammate
and
in the Lakers. And he said, go like on this first play, I'm going to run right through him.
And LeBron and D-Wade said, that's your teammate. You're not about to do him like that. He said, I know the play and I'm running right through his bleeping chest.
That is a harder hit than anything you're going to see in the Olympic flag football competition. No one's going to do that.
It's going to be incidental contact.
Okay. But what I'm saying is that you can't tell me that this is the dream team when they're not even playing the same sport. It's not even comparable.
Oh, don't do that.
It's not comparable.
Don't do that.
It's flag football.
Yes, it is.
It's flag football.
Wait a minute.
An activity.
T-Bone.
Is horse basketball?
T-Bone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hoop, but there's a basket.
First of all, it's more realistic because they only get in 4 seconds to throw the ball. That mean them Christmas tree routes that everybody run, it don't exist. That's one.
Okay.
Two.
So it's not football.
The game of football in today's NFL is pass anyway. Oh. So it has nothing
to do with passing. It has to do with the fact that when you go over the middle, no one's going to take your head off or take your stomach out of its alignment or whatever.
Incidental contact. You crazy. I'm gonna tell you right now, you crazy if you think that it wouldn't be incidental contact.
If
I play linebacker, I do it on purpose. I get right in the way and look right at the quarterback knowing that I'm about to take this dude smooth out. I'm doing it for my country.
I'm just being a patriot. What do you want? Right, Bodie? It's like Miracle. It's a whole bunch of Herb Brooks croats there, right? Or whatever his name is.
I didn't see him.
Who do you play for? That's right. Tyve is going to have that name on the front of the jersey is going to matter a lot for him. He's going to try out for Jamaica.
Doing this for the country.
All I'm saying is flag football is a fine thing. I will watch it. It will be entertaining. But let's not compare that to the dream team where it was actual basketball being played. That's all. It's just a minor problem I have with this. Otherwise, it should be very entertaining and fun.
Side note, didn't in the Olympics this year they had break dancing?
Yes, they did.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I watched part of it and I saw the Australia lady and I laughed really hard because she was terrible.
Really?
Oh, if you didn't see look her up because she became like an international villain, Tyvus, because it was this woman who had no business being on the breakdancing team. She apparently like her husband was part of the selection committee. She loves breakdancing. She's a big proponent of it, but she can't actually do it very well or whatever style she does. Didn't look athletic at all. It looked like me trying to breakdance essentially. Then they then I watched some of the other breakdancing highlights, and I said, "Oh yeah, that is athletic.
Oh,
that
I'm
takes
looking
talent.
At it.
Yeah,
what she did?
She became like an international sensation in a bad way. Everyone kind of hated her for it because there were probably better breakdancers in Australia than her, but she got put on the thing.
You know, good for her. She got to represent her country.
Oh, good for her. Yeah, that's she right. Got to represent take a her spot country. From somebody who deserved it. All right, so what did you want to bring up about breakdancing? I distracted you.
I was going to say, like, it was something new, and people, like, tuned into it just to see it. The same thing's going to happen with flag football. Although you know that the U.S. is going to run away
well,
with this thing.
That is what it will be like with the original Dream Team in the NBA in 92 when they did that. If you think the scores of this are going to be anything other than like 80 to 10, it's going to be a blowout. I don't even know if they're going to have 10. How do you do that? Are there field goals in flag football? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Why would there be?
Right.
No, I don't think
there are. Yeah, I'm going to say. So again, we're not even the kicking game is not even a part of the equation.
My thing is I think that this is how it's going to go. The first time it comes out there, yes, you're going to see the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens, those type of guys. But as this thing goes on and they continue to see how much of a landslide it is, it won't be those big names. They won't have to go because they're going to be like, the third string could go and they'd still be fine. Like, that's probably what's going to happen.
But see, like Justin Jefferson had a thing where he came out and said, this has been a childhood dream of mine is to,
The first time?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So there will be, and so I think it will take a while to work through that where Pat Mahomes will go, right? And like the best guy at every position will get to go.
If they go and it's like not even close, like they just completely wipe the floor with everybody they play with, they're going to be like, the NFL, we don't need to send our best.
Like, right. What I'm saying is, who's the like 12th best running back in football? We don't have to debate that. The point is, we're going to go through a lot of guys before we even get there. Yeah. And then that group of like the 12th best guys, like, but every four, it's only going to come around every 4 years. So then you're going to run into, well, I didn't get to do it yet. And now I'm the best quarterback because Pat Mahomes is out the pasture. There. Well, there's that. That's what I'd rather watch, honestly.
The retired guy?
Send our old guys.
Terrell Owens. Send him out there. Yeah. He's still in great shape.
Send all those old guys who are out of shape, can't get it done anymore.
Chad Johnson.
Like Tyvus Powell. Just,
I mean, we could put me out there. I'm we'll be out there for
see,
sure.
See, I tried to stop you cold right there.
I'm representing Team Jamaica.
Oh, you're for sure going for Jamaica. What if they said it was only guys who, well, you'd still have a bunch of guys ahead of you, I'm sure. Team Jamaica, go for it. They're not on this list, buddy. They're not on the top 10. So they need someone to come in and teach them. You could be their guy. You could be their Gordon Bombay.
Throw me the ball.
Go to the hockey thing again.
I'm going
to
just tell them, listen, we going to lose, so just throw me the ball. I'm going to go for 999 yards.
Oh, wow. Just
they're not going to stop me.
You're going to be Mr. Stats guy.
They're not going to stop me.
I would pay to listen, all seriousness, if you ever give it an attempt, I'm there day one with a Jamaica shirt on.
I'm going out there.
I will be the John Candy of this operation.
And I'm going to do the whole competition with the 97-1 the fan hoodie.
Perfect. Great marketing for us. And then people say, what is this Jamaican sports radio station? I'm so excited to listen to it. Nope. Spoiler alert. It's Columbus, Ohio, baby. Surprised you. A little different than what you were thinking. We have got Jeremiah Smith. We know he's good. On our afternoon show, when I was on with Common Man and T-Bone, now deceased. But when that was going, we dubbed him the Prophet. But the name, because Jeremiah sounds prophetic, but Prophet is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T.
Yes.
Because he is money. Well, the Prophet, Jeremiah Smith, could be making a run at Archie's record. We'll discuss that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Wednesday. We are still monitoring some lane restrictions going on at 70 eastbound. This is by the Madison County line in Hilliard-Rome Road area. There are road repairs that will be continuing until the end of this year, so definitely want to make sure you know a detour. And the best one really is taking 40 or Broad Street all the way downtown. Now we do want to mention though, there is a lot of fog in the area. I-70 at Taylor Blair Road specifically looking at very low visibility. So if you're heading out to that area, just make sure to be well aware if you're stepping out the door. I'm 10TV's Breen Albizu with your fan traffic.
Two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
Get hop in the YouTube chat. It's going for you. Just go to 971 The Fan. Search us up on YouTube. And then you can find the chat. Just go into T-Bone and Tybus. You'll see it there. I saw Ohio Season tweeted and said, Goalie Bob the GOAT if he wins two cups? Gotta be close. That's a real discussion point. He's got two Vezina trophies. He has two Stanley Cups to his name. Mm. And in three straight years of getting to the Stanley Cup, if that happens, right? I mean, that'd be quite the thing. So Goalie Bob certainly having a great season. He also, I think it was him or was it someone else in the chat brought up the fact, I'm trying to remember who it was, when you were asking Tybus, do you root for guys like Goalie Bob? Someone brought up in here, you root for guys like Nick Foligno. Goalie Bob certainly falls into that. Yeah, that was Ohio Season. He said the same thing. He said, you root for guys like Foligno because they were good. They were good here. You root for them wherever they go. Guys like Patrick Laine, Pierre-Luc Dubois, hate him. You don't root for those guys because they didn't do much here. Or they were problems when they were here. So I think that's fair. I think that's how it works for me, at least. Is that how you feel about former players when they're a problem? Do you root for guys if there are problems when they move on? I wouldn't.
Depends on who the player is.
No, if they're a problem. You're not rooting for a guy who's like a problem.
Was he a problem? Maybe he was misunderstood.
Okay. That's
maybe he was misunderstood. I would have to hear what happened.
Okay.
And then I'll make my decision from there. Fine. And I know I'm one of those guys that, like, I know how delicate the NFL is. Like, it's a shelf life. So I'm always rooting for people to, whether I hate them or like them, like, I'm always rooting for them to play as long as they can.
You're much nicer than me. That's good that there are people like you in the world. Cause after a while I just go, whatever. You're annoying. Go away.
they want to know in the chat, who do you think Goalie Bob retires with? Florida or the Blue Jackets?
Oh. I mean, it would be cool if he eventually came back, like, signed here and just then retired. I don't think he would play. Like, I'm saying he's going to probably play out the majority of his days in Florida. And then...
They're winning the championship.
Well, if
they're in the championship.
They're in the conference finals, yeah, but they very well could after the way... If they play like they did the last two games, yeah. Panthers could absolutely go win it all this year, but yeah, still a lot of work to do left in that regard, but it's an interesting discussion we'll have if he gets there and does it. I saw this is kind of predicting things ahead of time. Will Backus for CBS Sports was predicting all the college football award winners, and it shouldn't be a surprise. Two Buckeyes feature very prominently on this list. He has Caleb Downs winning both the Bednarik Award for the top defender in the country and the Thorpe Award for the top defensive back in the country. So, yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a total surprise. He is one of, if not the best player in college football. The only guy that I think gives him a run at that is his teammate, the Prophet, as we talked about, Jeremiah Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The prediction they have on CBS Sports is that he will win the Biletnikoff Award for top receiver, which...
It's crazy that he didn't win it last year.
Yes, it is absolutely right. It's crazy he didn't then. And then, of course, they also put here that they believe will win the Heisman Trophy, which if you do that as a sophomore, discussion becomes a thing, right? Of, well, could you do it again your junior year? And if that happens, we know the only other guy who did that was Archie.
I feel like that just won't happen. I feel like when you win the Heisman as an underclassman, it automatically disqualifies you from winning it the next year. I just feel like
I think the voters just go, no, we're never doing that again.
Yeah, I think Archie is going to be the only. And Archie, when you talk to Archie about that, like, how would you feel if somebody wins the Heisman two times? He always says, it wouldn't bother me because now I'm just the first one to do it. I was like, yeah, you got a point there.
Would it bother you? If you had something like that in your career where you were the only guy who'd done it, would you want to stay the only guy? Lie detector hooked up
of
to
course,
you.
A lot of people would say no. A lot of people say yeah, but like for me, like I like Archie. Like you did it, but I mean, I'm the first one to do it.
Okay,
like that's almost good perspective. That's almost asking me like the CFP. We won the first CFP. Like
that's right.
Did you think I'm mad that they won it last year? Absolutely not.
No, I get it. But like if you had won it a few years in a row, I guess you wouldn't be mad if like an Ohio State team down the road also won like two in a row, then that wouldn't bother you.
No, I feel like records is, I think this is how people feel about records. If you've had the record for like 10 plus years, all right, it is what it, at some point it's going to get broken. And I feel like that's just what it. Now, if you only had it for like a season and then boom, they broke it the next season, it's like, well, dang, I ain't even get a chance to enjoy it for a long time.
Not those 72 Dolphins. Wasn't that it? The 72 Dolphins are the ones that still pop, the ones that are still
every
left.
Every time that last
pop
team loses, yeah. The last team lose, they must have been nervous when the Patriots had Tom and Randy.
Well, I also think because the 72 Dolphins, they went 14-0 in the regular season. They finished 17-0, and they obviously won the Super Bowl. That Patriots team won 19 games in a row, and then they lost the 20th game.
You know what's sad is that nobody talk about that.
Well, I'm just saying
that them and the Warriors are the same because they both had these unbelievable regular seasons where they broke the record.
Yeah.
But lost in the championship, so nobody talks about it.
Who'd that Warriors team lose to?
Cavs. The Cavs were down 3-1 and then they came back and won.
That's right. Don't forget it. I'm just saying that the 72 Dolphins popping the champagne, it's like you're kind of popping on a technicality now because it's like the Patriots won more games in a row than you ever did in a tougher NFL than you ever played in as far as the amount of competition. I understand in 72 you could basically commit assault and you could stab a guy and they'd be like, that's fine. That's just part of the game. I understand it was tougher in the moment, but you cannot tell me the level of competition in 72 was better than it was when the Patriots went out and did that. There's no way. It's just the league got tougher.
Can you say the same thing about Golden State?
Compared to what?
To the Bulls?
Yeah. I think the NBA has gotten better over the years. I don't think it's even on the same. I don't even think it's a conversation about when I, as someone who watched the 90s and I was very aware of it. I wasn't like 5 when the 90s happened. I mean, that was my formative years of watching basketball. I watched a lot of guys in a lot of games where I said, if they did that in any league that I played in, they'd be fouled out in 5 minutes. Like, they let you do anything. It wasn't basketball half the time. It was just guys running into each other. But then now you go back and watch those highlights and you see guys that could never play in the NBA today. Could never play with all the rules you have against hand checking, all the other foul calls. You couldn't, half these guys who won Defender of the Year, all they were was dudes who just beat the hell out of guys and couldn't shoot. There would have no place on an NBA team today. So it wasn't playing basketball. Yes, they were more physical, but it wasn't basketball. I mean, it wasn't the same level of basketball as played now.
Bill Russell wouldn't have won all those rings in today's
NBA. Bill Russell, I'm not talking about the elite guys. You take Charles Barkley, put him in now, he could still play.
Okay.
You take Bill Russell, put him in now, yes, he could still, with the conditioning and everything. I'm talking about the guys 6, 7, 8, 9 on the bench. They get laughed out of the tryout. They wouldn't even make the G League now. What are we talking about?
Well,
you're starting fives?
That's fair.
Sure. You could get a Dan Marley. He get to just shoot threes all the time. Sure. Thunder Dan could play. With his beautiful hair and his tan skin and his muscles, yeah, that'd be fine. He could shoot threes, but he would get exposed defensively. That's all I'm saying.
I heard something like a year ago, and it's been stuck in my mind. You know, Bill Russell, how great of a defender he is.
Sure.
You know, Wilt Chamberlain, how great of a player he was.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that Wilt Chamberlain averaged 29 points? 28 rebounds against Bill Russell every time they play.
Is that true?
I'm looking at it right here.
I didn't know that.
It says Will Chamberlain averaged 29.9 points, 28.1 rebounds, and 3.8 assists per game when facing Bill Russell.
Bodie, are you going to allow the slander of a Celtics legend like this?
I'm just asking a question.
Are you going to
T-Bone, some guys play for the name on the front of the jersey and winning all those championships, and some guys play for the name on the back. That's all.
I'm just saying.
How many times will win the title?
I'm saying
11.
Is that Bill is this great defender, and Will just gave him 30 almost every time they played.
I'm trying to remember was there an overlap in age? Like they were roughly the same age, right? Maybe by a couple years difference. It wasn't like Bill Russell wasn't like, you know, Larry Bird and Kevin McHale in the mid 90s, right? He was still like himself. He was still really good when he played against Wilt. So yeah, I have to go back and look at my NBA history. That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
He had a 30-30 game.
Go watch those games, though. Go see who he was going up against.
My only issue with Wilt is that he held up a sign of him scoring 100 points, but there's no video of him scoring 100 points.
Well, I got a segment for you coming up later. That might be one that I agree with. I think that's an interesting one you brought up there, Tyvus. We'll talk about that later. The huddle, though, is coming up next. All the NFL questions are getting answered in this segment. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still not noticing any major delays or incidents to report for your Wednesday, but we do want to mention that there is fog in the area. So if you're stepping out the door and you notice that, just make sure to take it nice and easy on the roads. 70 and 670 split looking pretty good. 33 east and westbound in Plain City, you're looking fantastic. And 71 coming into downtown, both north and southbound, looking pretty good. I'm 10TV's Brian Albizu with your fan traffic.
When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Don't look at me like that. In his ride, man.
T-Bone and Tyvus, good morning.
He would annoy Kevin.
T-Bone and Tyvus, by the way, brought to you by Awaken 180 right here on the Fan. We're just in the YouTube chat. We had a discussion in the last segment about guys from the old days of the NBA versus now. And I said, yeah, I think the Bill Russells, Wilt Chamberlains would certainly be able to play in today's modern NBA if you gave them time to, like, acclimate. But I don't know that they'd be as dominant as they were back in when they played. And that led to a discussion about could this team play with that team? And Richard said the 90s Bulls would destroy the Warriors. Okay, I agree to disagree. There's no, I don't, I'm
saying
we're talking.
You said Mike, first of all.
We're talking peak Warriors where Draymond Green is in the car crying in the parking lot, and he calls Kevin Durant. Are we talking about that season after that? Like that, right, but, where you've got everyone's there?
So the star lineup is Steph, Clay, Durant, Draymond, and I don't even know who they five was. Looney?
Iguodala.
Iguodala.
Oh,
yeah.
Iguodala.
Oh, yeah. Just Andre Iguodala is their five. Just a dominant, like, top 10 guy when he came out of college. Yeah, that's just that guy. Just roaming around, pros pro, doing everything.
You don't think Scotty could or Mike could? Well,
no. All right, so Steph and Mike, and they put probably Scotty. They'd have to throw Scotty on. They're going to have to throw him on Durant.
Okay.
And Durant would dunk all over him.
I don't know. I might put...
would be hitting from 40 feet. There's no question. Michael would be like, I'm going to hand check you. And Steph would be like, I'm not going to come near the three-point line. Good luck. Come on out here.
You might... But see...
No way.
See, Draymond is short.
Yes.
So that means...
Oh, Draymond and Dennis Rodman? I would pay so much money to watch the two of them out crazy each other. Yes. That would be a great series. I'm not saying that it wouldn't go six or seven. The Warriors are winning that.
This is what I'll say.
But who's Judd Bushler going to match up with? Who's Steve? No offense, Steve Kerr, but he looks at that and says, I'd rather coach. I don't want to be playing against this team. I built this monster. I don't want to play against it.
I will say this, and this is one specific thing, is that Michael Jordan, I think, would struggle defensively in today's NBA.
He absolutely would.
Because if Allen Iverson crossed him over with that move that he did, Kyrie Irving would put him in a blender. I don't care what nobody say.
I love Allen Iverson.
Steph Curry, the way they handling that ball nowadays, they would put him in a blender.
Oh. And by the way, I think Jordan would have a lot more technicals. Can you imagine him going up against Shea? And then
Shea tried to do the same.
Every time he gets the foul call, Michael would lose his mind. And I wouldn't blame him.
Michael would also get the calls too.
No, he would on the offensive side, but defensively at some point, if they're calling it that way, he'd get thrown out of games because he'd be so pissed off. I wouldn't blame him. I'd get pissed off watching SGA do some of that stuff, but. No, I know it's a debate we'll never settle.
They've toned the foul calling down because like a few years ago, James Harden used to get fouled. He shoot like 25 free throws a game, and I used to be sitting there like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like the little hand thing they let you when you put your hand out the guard, they just go up and like they shoot and get the foul. They used to make me so mad.
Well, James Harden to me still is the worst at all of that. As far as I mean, he'd get all the calls, but I just. Him doing that is unwatchable. SGA, at least, you know, there's a little bit more to his game. But James Harden got to a point where he would have wide open lanes and he would slow down and wait for the guy to run up on his back. And then he would like stop and get fouled. And it's like, just make the layup. Just go in.
Try to get the and-one.
Yeah. All right. It's time for the huddle. I almost got a little distracted. Bodie, we got way late on this. So let's go ahead and try to do the huddle as quickly as we can. Here we go.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to the huddle.
All right, Bodie, huddle question number one.
All right, number one, guys, we talked about this a bit in the first hour. NFL players potentially heading to the Olympic Games in 2028 for flag football, not including quarterbacks. Who would you pick number one overall for Team USA for that flag football team in the Olympic Games?
I mean, Justin Jefferson seems to really want to do it. He's obviously one of the best non-quarterbacks out there. I'm just thinking of, like, guys who played wide receiver because that seems to be the most important position outside of quarterback in this type of game where you can play defense, but you can't hit. So for me, it'd be him.
If you're going to take him, then I would go Ja'Marr Chase.
All right. That's fair. Yeah, either one of those guys. Can I ask a simple caveat? What if I took Lamar Jackson, but he's not playing quarterback? Because I would say Lamar as like just a wide receiver, open field, like you can throw him the
risk
ball.
Now you risk an injury. They're not going to let you do that.
Would you take him over anybody else, though? Like, I would actually consider taking him first.
If they were doing like a thing where you got more than 4 seconds and quarterbacks can scramble, he'd be first pick of the draft.
Absolutely right. Go ahead, buddy.
Next up here, Awful Announcing recently ranked all 16 of the week one slate of games for watchability for this upcoming season. They had the Ravens at the Bills as number one on the list. Just for whatever it's worth, they had Browns Bengals at like 15, I think it was, so a little bit lower. But nevertheless, agree or disagree with that Ravens at Bills game at number one.
As the best game of the year?
Week one.
That's a good one. There's definitely a really good game. I mean, it's hard to.
Lions at Packers would be like that, just, it's a rivalry. It's in Lambeau, but I just don't think the Packers are as good as the Lions.
Exactly.
Chiefs at Chargers can be, again, because it's Chiefs on the road. Chargers crowd will be hyped for them. But of course, then again, it'll probably be
50%
hyped for the
Kansas City.
You're right. So in that point, you're right. I think they probably nailed it. I think those are the other two games that are the contenders. But yeah, that's right, Bodie. Number three.
Yep. Next up here, there's been a lot of talk about banning the tush push in recent off seasons. As a Philadelphia Eagle hater, I hope they ban it just for that reason. But nevertheless, if you could make one NFL rule change, what would it be?
Get rid of the PIs where the ball is underthrown.
I can't stand it.
Make it offensive PI.
It's a no call. The quarterback need to throw a catchable ball.
Well, I will say, I thought you were going somewhere else. I would take away the spot foul on pass interference. I don't need you. There should be no penalty more than 15 yards. If you throw the ball 70 yards down the field and you run into each other or whatever it is, let's say it's blatant pass interference. First down. And you can do something where you give maybe some version of like a technical foul where it's like, hey, we know that was egregious. You get one of those. If you do it again, we're throwing you out of the game. So like a corner, there's still a penalty for you beyond the 15 yards, but you shouldn't get bailed out on a like third and 24 because you just threw the ball 50 yards and it was an iffy PI. And now you're in the red zone. I hate that call. Give me one more, Bodie. Give me your best one.
One more, guy. Oh, this is going to be the greatest question ever, Bodie. Okay, with the recent story of Caleb Williams almost forcing his way out of Chicago ahead of the 2024 NFL draft, if you guys were a high-end prospect, come up with whatever position you want to be, and you were entering the league, which franchise would you most and least want to play for?
Well,
I mean, that's bias.
Least, I would say, like, the Panthers. I just have no loyalty to them. I don't care about them, and they seem like they're garbage, and they're going to be garbage for a while. I'll say most. Most. Well, that's his job. I'm definitely going to do that. Most, Cowboys.
Nice.
Here's why.
America's team, baby.
Because then all I do is I go right up to Jerry Jones the very first day, and I'm like, Jerry, did I ever tell you how brilliant you are? I love you. And then you're there for 12 years. You just are never getting cut.
Just keep hanging around.
The second you suck, they hire you as like a coordinator or an assistant coach. So you've got job security. Because as long as you suck up to the Joneses, you're fine.
I would definitely be the Cleveland Browns for my best because of loyalty.
All right.
And the least would probably be somebody like the Giants because they stink.
One of us is getting paid by the Haslams. I think we should point that out.
That, well, I mean, yes, but you know what? Now that you talk about that, that one of us needs to a raise in his pay. That'd be nice.
By the way, I saw this. Bodie put this in the prep. I think Joe Lunardi may be huffing pain. We need to check on this guy. I'll tell you why next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Not noticing a lot of accidents or delays as of right now, but we do want to remind you about a road close. This is up in Marysville, 36 in both directions. A little strip there between 33 and Delaware County line will still be closed through the mid-July area, so make sure you plan ahead there. A great detour if you take Marysville Road to State Route 257 all the way to US 42 and back to US 33 will save you a little bit of time. Again, if you're in that area, heading out the door and trying to make your commute. I'm 10TV's Brian Albizu with your Fan Traffic.
Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
You tweet the program, at Bone and Tyvus 971. And by the way, my friends at Window Nation, they have got a tremendous deal for you. Number one, their windows are built to keep all that summer heat out and to keep your cold air in. They are insulated. They're energy efficient. They go through a 50-point inspection before they ever leave their factory, which, by the way, their windows are assembled right here in the U.S. of A. You can make a smart investment now that will help you save money all summer long. And then, of course, when we get into winter, it'll be the opposite. You'll want these windows then, too. It's a lifetime warranty on all their windows at Window Nation. Plus, you can buy four windows and get four windows free right now. For 2 years, you won't have to worry about a down payment, interest, or monthly payments. You'll pay nothing until 2027. Get a free entry door when you buy a house full of windows from Window Nation. Call them today, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Joe Lunardi. He does bracketology, Tyvus? You a fan of Joe Lunardi? You think he gets it right? Do you not care?
I don't hold people like against this because it's hard to predict things like this and get it right all the time.
That's true. So that's like a very reasonable take.
Yeah. I'm a reasonable guy. You hold these people to what they say?
No, not something like that.
Okay.
I'm with you. Like, I could never come up with my top, like, it would take to come up with 10 of the best teams now. And say and try to get it right a year from now almost.
Yeah.
No, I understand his job's tough. I also didn't advertise that I'm the guy you should read on ESPN doing bracketology. That's his job, right? That's the one thing he does. So I do hold him to a higher standard than I would hold like me or you, because we don't pretend like we're bracketologists. He's literally, that's his title. That's what his blog is called, all that. He has right now. And I mean, I'd feel great if I believed this. He did his way too early 2026 bracket for men's basketball. He has Ohio State as a 4 seed. And I think we need to check on him. As much as I want to believe this as a Buckeye fan, I don't know.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be great.
It'd be nice. You never know. Listen, I think that this program learned something. I think Jake Diebler learned something last year. You know, he tried it a certain way in the offseason where he went and targeted certain guys, and it was maybe more towards the blue bloods, the big names from blue blood schools, and it didn't mesh correctly. So now this year he went and got guys that's maybe not from blue blood programs, but they have skill sets that will work well with what he's trying to establish here with Ohio State. And if he puts it all together, I mean, think about it. This team, if this team didn't implode at the end of the year, it was a point in time where they were in the dance. They were going to the tournament. And the back half of the schedule just kind of, they just kind of lost a lot of games that they shouldn't have lost. Even that team, as bad as it looked last year, they were that close to making it to the dance.
I know.
So it's not crazy to say that if he went out and got the right recruits, like right transfer kids to come in and it meshes well and they pick up the philosophy and the scheme works for everybody, it's not crazy to say that they can't be a really good team next year.
I agree with you that they should be improved from last year. And last year's team was a bubble team that, yes, even despite what I thought of them, despite what we all saw them actually do, you're right. They had enough of the quad one and quad two wins that would have probably got them in the tournament if they had just taken care of business a couple times, like on their home court.
Yes.
Right? If they had just won a couple more games here in Columbus, we probably are talking about them being in the tournament.
If Bruce would have just hit that bunny in that team up north game.
Well, there's all kinds. There's probably 10 of those you could look at and say.
That's the one thing. Every time I think about last season.
In this game or that game. Yeah, but you're right. That's exactly one.
That sticks out to me. I mean, that's something you dream of. That shot was like.
It was right there. Couldn't make it happen. So here's the other side of that, though. Because I have heard some Buckeye fans say, hey, can't hold Jake Diebler responsible for what happened with the previous regime. Well, one, yes, we can.
He was on it.
He was the top assistant on at least the last couple years of that squad, and he was largely responsible for the offense, which if you were watching the Holtman era, the offense was one of the major issues, was that they could never figure out consistent scoring, getting a rhythm on offense. When it became a tight game, who do you go to and how do you execute when the team is trying to take away your best player? These are all issues that this team faced prior to Jake Diebler being the head coach and they faced last year. So, yeah, I think it's fair to judge Jake Diebler on that scale. But regardless of what's fair or not, I think this is the reality. They missed the tournament this year. There is no reason why Ross Bjork would have any loyalty to Jake Diebler, in my mind.
That's fair.
Can say all the nice things. He can, and I think it would be the right decision. If they don't make the tournament again, which hopefully doesn't happen, hopefully they are in. Joe Lunardi thinks they're going to be a 4 seed. God bless. That'd be great. That means they're a top 25 team. I'd take that. But just make the tournament, and then we can build from there. If they don't make it this year, I think Jake Diebler has to know those stakes. Surely Ross Bjork wouldn't keep him around another year after that. Because I feel like Jake Diebler was hired due to the fact that Gene Smith was retiring. Ross Bjork was coming in, and as he's rearranging, where is his office furniture going to go? They fire a head coach that probably shouldn't have been extended a couple years ago in Chris Holtman.
Mm-hmm.
So they did something that had a lot of momentum from some Buckeye fans. I don't think it was the right decision. I think you should have done a nationwide coaching search, and John Calipari was begging to come here, and you said, no, thanks. Timing's not right. Well, make it right. It's John Calipari. He wants to bring half of Kentucky with him. Let's go. Instead, they'd opted to stay safe and keep a guy who'd already been on the staff elevated. That's what you do when you're just getting your feet wet in the job. I think if we get to a point this year where they are out of the tournament, Ross Bjork's going to look at that and say, now I get to do my coaching search. Well, now I'm going to go nationwide and I'm going to have a budget and we're going to go.
First of all, I would say I'm with you. I think that anytime there's a coaching vacancy, you should always do a nationwide search. You shouldn't. The in-house guy, maybe he's favored to win the job, but you still should do your due diligence of going to see other coaches because something might impress you. So I agree with you on that one. I will say that this season is a very pivotal season in Ohio State basketball history. Why do I say that? Because I think Jake Diebler, whether or not he hasn't maybe not gotten the top recruits, but for some odd reason, when these top recruits come out with their top five, Ohio State's in there. So it's something he's doing in recruiting that's resonating with these kids. And I think the only reason these kids have not pulled the trigger on Ohio State is because they have not seen the success. And I think that if he can get them to the dance and maybe win one or two games, I think that will give a kid in high school you know what? That guy's building something. I can be there. And the thing about Jake, whether fair or unfair, he's always going to be judged by what Dusty May is doing with the Wolverines because they were hired at the same time. And the fact that he went in there and that team was terrible and he turned them around and helped them win the Big Ten and all those things in one season. These Buckeye fans is looking at him why can't you do that? We gave you this money to go out and get this recruit, that recruit, or this transfer kid and that transfer kid. Why is it not working?
I think you're spot on with the idea that the way Jake's going about recruiting this year is far better. I would rather have guys who have gotten you 20 points, 18 points, 15 points, and 10 boards at lower schools who know how to play college basketball than guys who were 5 stars in high school and then didn't get to play a whole lot when they played for Duke, Kentucky, et cetera.
What he did this year is he went and got guys that are role players that understand this is my role. This is why I'm on this team, because it's to rebound. It's because I play great defense. It's because I defend the paint. Like, that's what it is. To where if you go get these five-star kids, they feel like they can do everything and they feel like they're the man.
Yep.
So when you get five guys out there that believe they are the best player on the court, it's hard because nobody accepts the role. The hardest thing about basketball is accepting what your role is and sticking to it and playing that role. And a lot of people, especially if you come from Kentucky or Duke, you come into Ohio State, no way that you think that I'm just going to be a rebounder. You think I'm just out here to play defense. That's not my thing. I do it all. And I think that that played a part into it. Injuries played a part of it as well, but trying to get people to understand what their role is and dominate their role, that's a tough task too.
Bruce Thornton, John Mobley Jr., Devin Royal, that's your core.
Yes.
If those three guys don't play well, I don't think this team will do anything. If they play well, and then you get support from the role guys. Yeah, they have a very good. And then you get guys like Tayson Chapman, who we thought maybe have a big part of it.
I've been waiting to see this kid since he stepped on the yard.
Yeah, and now we'll finally, it should be his time. So get him involved too, right? Like there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I'm just pointing out that if it doesn't happen this year, we don't need to kick around, well, it takes time to build and cultures. And, no, shut up. It's... Like you said, Dusty May did 8-22 playoff, like into the March Madness. Flipped one year. I'm not saying Michigan is flawless. They're not. They were a very flawed team, and it's surprising that they won the Big Ten tourney. But they got it done, and that's all that matters in March. You have to show that you can do it late in the season. This team faltered. Michigan did not. That's why they got where they were. Come back, Joe Burrow threw down the gauntlet with the NFL. Didn't really throw down the gauntlet, just said he didn't like something, but at least he's voicing his opinion. I like that. We'll tell you what he said next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Happy Wednesday. No major incidents or delays to report as of now this morning, so things are looking pretty good. It is foggy in the area, though, so make sure if you're stepping out the door, just take it nice and slow this morning. 33 westbound on the southeast side for folks coming from the Canal Winchester Pickerington area. You're looking good there. Good drive times at 70 eastbound from West Jefferson, and that 70-670 split over in Gahanna looking still pretty good for your Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Breen Albizu with your Fan Traffic.
Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Hop in the YouTube chat if you want to. You can jump in there. Just go to YouTube, search 971 The Fan. You'll find T-Bone and Tyvus. Click on it, and you can get involved and talk to us. Our Andy's in the chat today. He's got a lot to say. I love that. Andy Davis says, if Ohio State gets the fourth seed, Jake Diehler should be coach of the year, LOL. I see us at the end of the season being in a situation with us having to win 5 out of 7 of the remaining games to make the dance. I hope you're wrong.
I hope you're wrong,
but
too.
I understand why you say that. We talked about it. The amount of talent on this team, you were spot on. You said it is a pivotal year in the history of Ohio State basketball. If they go out and miss the tournament this year, you now have this. You had the last 2 years that you've had to kind of figure it out. It hasn't. If that happens, then you have to go hire someone. You're going to have to then convince people that that guy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And then
recruit at the same time. So now you asking your donors, because kids are not going to be like, I don't know that coach. I don't know what his chemistry is. I don't know what his philosophy is. So now you're overpaying to go get a kid out of the portal or a kid out of high school. So like it's just a lot. It's a lot. The best situation is that Jake figures it out this year and they have a really good season and they make the dance. Like that would be the best situation. And if I was them, that would be the only thing. There is no other option. That's it. We have to make the tournament by any means necessary. Yeah. And if these players here is not on that, if that's not their mindset, then you recruited the wrong guy.
Oh yeah. That's exactly right. So we're going to find out what it is with Jake Diehler this year, but I do think you're right. This is a pivotal year, not just for him, but for Ohio State basketball. Let's hope they get it right. Joe Burrow was talking. He was at the voluntary workouts and he gave a press conference. He is not happy about the fact, as many Bengals fans are not either, that they have to hit the road for that Thanksgiving game against Baltimore. They are week 13. They're going to be on the road, which that in itself is not bad. It's the fact that they have to play this game often on the road and often at night. Here's what Burrow said. Playing in Baltimore for the fourth straight primetime year isn't ideal. Maybe we can get one of those in Cincinnati next year. Please. That's a fair thing to point out. If you not like to play in prime time, I can understand him saying that. I can understand him saying I'd rather have a prime time game at home. Give us that if we can. Their record on the road hasn't been terrible in these prime time games. Zach Taylor brought that up. They have, I believe they were like, they've won, I want to say it was 4 out of 5 of those last year that they had.
Okay, that's really
three of their 5 primetime road games last year they won.
It's still pretty good.
And Zach Taylor said they're embracing the challenge and all that stuff.
Good coach talk.
Yeah.
First of all, I understand that Baltimore can be hard to play. First of all, Baltimore is a really good football team. But when you put the fact that it's at night, as you talk about the shoe, when you bring that nighttime atmosphere to it, it does make the place a little more hostile and it makes it a little harder. The way you beat that as an opposing team is you have to jump out early. You have to get out there, score some points early and take the crowd out of it. Don't give them nothing to cheer for. If they don't have nothing to cheer for, the crowds will be, they will sit down and be silent, and it makes the game easy. So if that's what they're worried about, I would suggest that they come out bomb right away. Jamar Chase, first play in the game, bomb. You want to see some people, you want to take the breath out of a stadium, throw a bomb on the first play of the game and score.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? I mean, it could be, not that I understand what Joe Burrow is saying. He wasn't really complaining, but Bengals fans, if you have a problem with that, might I interest you in a team called the Cleveland Browns?
We got 2 4 o'clock, one game at 4:05, one at 4:25. Outside of that, all 1 o'clock.
There's a lot of Ravens games I've seen at 1 o'clock.
We played them at 4:25. I think we played them at 4:25.
It might be, but that's not because of the Browns. It's because of the Ravens.
True.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's been plenty of years where I've watched the Browns and Ravens play at 1 o'clock, you know, and that's all that was.
You know what? This, for right now, I don't mind that the Browns are not playing at night.
Oh, yeah, I don't want people to see this product. Are you kidding?
No.
We don't need to highlight it.
Not for that
reason. Stuff it on there with Spiro Dedes at 1 o'clock with all the other games.
See, you're looking at it wrong.
How am I supposed to look at it?
If they play a night game, you and I will have to watch it. I will have to work it.
That's right. Which then
means that I won't get off the broadcast until 2 in the morning, which then means that I have to wake up 2 to 3 hours later and have to come here and do a show on that Monday morning. So,
you know what?
Therefore, they should stay at 1 o'clock.
I agree with you. But if we get, you know, doing this show and we get some night games for the Browns, you know, I mean, the Bengals are going to have games too. We're going to have to stay up and watch. I say on the games where you have to work, where you are on until like 2 a.m., I'll stay up with you. We'll just come into the studio, pull an all-nighter. Let's go. Like we're in college and we're just studying for a big term paper. You remember those days?
You want to pull an all-nighter?
Yeah.
I've never pulled an all-nighter in my life.
You should try it.
You know why you do that? My friend, is called procrastination.
No. That's called wanting to be ready. Studying for the moment.
Why you haven't been studying the entire week?
Because you could forget it.
That's called procrastination.
I study a month ahead of time and then I forget it all?
They say repetition is the father of learning.
That's good. They say procrastination is the mother of getting bleep done. It's from the quote book of T-Bone. That's what I say. Roger Goodell says the NFL is going to play 16 regular season international games very, very soon. He was talking, you know, with the NFL owners meetings going on. He said to CNBC's Scott Wapner, I do see 16 regular season games, and I do think that will happen in the very near future, talking about international games, within 5 years probably. He said international is an open market for us. We're excited about our potential there. This ties in with that Olympic stuff where they're going to put, I'm sure this is part of the reason why they're so excited to have the Olympic Games take some NFL players to go play flag football. They want to expose the international markets to the NFL as much as possible. They know that they can capitalize there and make a lot of money. We all know the NFL is beloved in America, but we also, I think, know that that market is about as full as it's going to get. They get 50% of the TVs that exist in America to turn on the Super Bowl. Nothing else in entertainment or otherwise gets that done. Only the NFL. You can't go better than that. You can't get 100% of the TV. It's just not possible to get that many people to watch this sport. You've maxed out probably. Now, you may keep it there for 20 more years, But you've maxed out. The amount of people are going to watch the NFL in this country is largely about as big as it's ever going
to
get.
I'm trying to figure out where other cities can he go? Like that cares about
football. Well, he's going to, this is the point. The NFL is saying, we're going to make you care.
Well,
they're going to Spain. Spain's never had a game. They're going to Spain this year. They've started going down to Brazil. I'm saying they're going to start by, let's give you a game. Everyone gets excited about it.
Wasn't the Brazil experience like not great because they said like the players couldn't even like leave the hotel?
There are that they've had that in a few countries, I think. They've had that in Mexico as well.
If I'm a player, what I want to do that for? I can't even go out. Like, you can't even go out and explore.
I'm sure that that is something that a lot of players would say they feel. And then Roger Goodell would say, essentially, this is the monopolistic nature of the NFL. Where are you going to go? If we tell you that you have to, he's going to be Bob Castellini with the Reds on that. Where are you going to go? Like, if you don't like that, go play in the CFL, buddy. That's sadly the attitude the NFL will have because they're looking to say we can make money off it.
CFL pay more money, more players will play in the CFL than the NFL easily.
Of course they would.
I've experienced both, and I'm telling you, if the CFL was paying like the NFL, it'd be a landslide.
I know, but that's why number one, they won't ever do that. TV contract isn't there. But also, the NFL knows that, and they know that they kind of can. They have to negotiate with the players during the players association during every time they have a contract come up, they have to renegotiate it. But ultimately, if the players don't want to play international games, they would have to put their foot down and say, absolutely not. And we will stop work to be able to get that done. I don't know if enough guys feel strongly enough about that.
No, because I was in the league around 2019, 2020 when it was supposed to be a lockout for 3 years. They said, we hold now. It's going to be a lockout. Save your money. And as soon as they put that thing to vote, it passed. I said, y'all sad, man.
Right.
Y'all is sad.
And that's why I always think because people rail on that. And they say, why don't the players ever get it together? There's 32 owners. There are how many players? 1,500, 1,200, whatever the number is, there's a lot, right?
And everybody ain't a millionaire.
Exactly. So I think it's way easier to get 32 largely billionaires. Well, they're all billionaires when you count the worth of their teams. 32 billionaires all have very similar interests. They might have a few disagreements. You've got your Mike Brown down in Cincinnati who's different than, say, Jerry Jones in Dallas. But by and large, they're all fairly similar. NFL players, you've got the Pat Mahomes who's making $400 million, and then the guy who's a practice squad guy, essentially, or
making $5,000 to $6,000 a week.
Yeah, it's just it's a very different experience for those guys to get all of them on the same page, I think is hard to do. So I understand why that stuff doesn't pass. But now Goodell is saying they plan to have in the next 5 years a game every week in an international market. 16 is what he's saying.
God bless.
They have,
if they do it, if they can pull it off, go ahead.
Opening week won't be right. They won't have an opening week game there, and they probably won't have the last week of the season there, but every other week of the season, they will have, I guarantee you, they will have an international game. And that means every team's going to have to do it. That means that right now you have seven this year, seven international games. And it seems like a lot. There's a lot of international games this year.
The Vikings got back-to-back international games, and I'm like, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
You can't come to the lead if you ain't got no passport now.
No, that's right. Is the NBA, them too. The WNBA, is it bigger than Major League Baseball? Probably not. But I saw a number that was fairly interesting from over the weekend that I'll share with you next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Welcome to your Wednesday. We are noticing a big crash happening right now on I-70 West, just beyond State Route 158, the Kirksville area. Expect some lane closures there because of this crash, but the road status does look open, so just expect a couple slowdowns as you head out the door this morning. I'm 10T's Brain Albizu with your fan traffic.
Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Foggy morning. Hope you're being safe out there on the roads. T-Bone and Tyvus. You can tweet us at Bone and Tyvus 971. By the way, that Eastern Conference Final, Game 1 last night in hockey. Panthers got the job done in Carolina. Goalie Bob, 33 saves. Obviously, his jackets, ties run strong. Brought up in the chat, I think it's worth a discussion. Is he the greatest of all time if he gets another Stanley Cup with his two Vezina trophies? So you can tweet that to us at Bone and Tyvus 971. Let us know what you think on that. Game 2 for them is tomorrow night. Game one in the Western Conference, that is with the Stars hosting Edmonton. That is tonight at 8. NBA playoffs, same kind of thing. Western Conference started last night. Thunder destroyed Minnesota. Wasn't close in the second half. They outscored them 70-40, did Oklahoma City. Game two for them is tomorrow night. Game one in the Eastern Conference between the Knicks and the Pacers is tonight at 8. So we're in that time of year where it's conference finals in both the leagues. You got alternating games every night. If you like NBA or NHL or both like I do, it's a good problem to have to, yes, have to click through all that stuff. Speaking of basketball, saw the WNBA numbers came out over the weekend. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. That is the Indiana Fever for Caitlin Clark, the Chicago Sky for Angel Reese. That game with a lot of controversy, the foul situation, all that stuff, it generated a lot of numbers too. 2.77 million people watched that WNBA game. That is the most in a regular season for the WNBA since 2000.
It's going up.
You were watching it.
I was watching that game. I watched last night's game. It's very entertaining. Last night's
Fever
game.
The Atlanta Fever and the Atlanta Dream won.
Yes.
They beat the Fever.
That game, I watched this second half, the whole second half. When I tuned into it, the Dream was up by like 11 points.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, wow, the Dream is really, I know they got Brittany Griner and all those things. And they got Ryan Howard, and I know she can shoot really well, but like, I didn't think they'd be beating the Fever like this. And as I continued to watch that game, you know, Kelsey started to hit some shots. Aaliyah Boston was having a game. I can tell she worked on her game this offseason because she was like getting fast breaks. And usually, you know, when she got the fast breaks last year, they always would look for Caitlin. But it was a bunch of times where she just pushed the ball up, crossed it over, went straight to the lane and finished with the left or the right. And I was like, oh yeah, she's really good. So I think she finished that game with like 24 points and the Fever came back. It was a point where they tied the game where Kelsey Mitchell hit this layup off the back of the back off the high off the glass. She tied the game up, and I'm like, okay, we got us a game.
Yeah.
And they come down, they get a stop, then the Fever come down, and Aaliyah Boston goes to the line. Now, Aaliyah Boston was 5 for 5 from the free throw line. She splits.
My favorite number, 5 for 5. Love that deal. That's great.
She splits the free throw. She goes 1 for 2, so it's 90-89. And the Dream takes it back down court, and Ryan Williams goes against Kelsey Mitchell. And Kelsey's playing great defense, and Ryan Williams kind of like throws up this layup. Like, she throws her body into Kelsey and throws up this layup, and they call a foul. And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's great defense. But Kelsey did hook her. She hooked her a little bit when she went up, so they called the foul on that. Of course, she goes to the line, hits both free throws. They went 91-90. It was a banger of a game.
You're locked in on WNBA, and I love that.
Oh, yeah.
We watch a lot of WNBA at our household. And I'm wondering how many people are, at least over the last couple of years, starting to get into the WNBA. I know Caitlin Clark has a big, you know, a lot to do with that, but she's not the only reason, right? She has accelerated the growth, but league has been growing over the years.
They've had good women playing. I mean, Asia Wilson is unbelievable. Oh. She's a double-double every night. Breonna Stewart, that's all. Yeah. That's really good basketball. Kelsey Plum in her first game with the Spartans, I think she had like 34, 37 points or something like that. So there's a bunch of women out there that's playing some really good basketball, and it's very exciting to watch.
Well, I bring up the numbers for them, 2.77 million for that game. And I don't know, but I tend to think Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, when they match up for the first time in the regular season, that's probably going to surpass that number. That was the highest number in 20 years for the WNBA. Meanwhile, Sunday night baseball. Now, obviously, the WNBA game was Saturday. This Sunday night baseball game, though, was between the Mets and the Yankees. And it was Juan Soto back with, you know, left the Yankees. Now he's playing at Yankee Stadium again. All the drama there. That game only did 2.54 million. Did less than the WNBA game. And I just feel like that's a moment to notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball has more games to play. They have more pop. You look at WNBA social media, you look at their ticket sales, you look at anything you want metric-wise. Obviously, Major League Baseball teams have far more. They have history. They have larger fan bases. They have more time to develop and grow those fan bases, mm-hmm, right? But I think it's interesting that when you have the marquee teams for Major League Baseball, two of the highest payrolls, Mets and Yankees. We know that rivalry. Maybe if you're not in New York, you don't care about it. But I tend to feel like people will flip that on and go, oh, looky there. A bunch of stars under the lights in New York City I'll tune it in just to see how it goes. If nothing else, to hate watch it.
Yeah.
That didn't get the same number as a WNBA game on a Saturday. And I find that just an interesting thing to notice.
Well, to be fair, in this was opening night game. This was game one for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And everybody understands that rivalry. To a lot of people, that's like Magic versus Bird. Like that's the type of rivalry that they have right now. So a lot of people tune into that to see that. To where the Mets and Yankees, this is a out of 162.
Right, yes, like exactly
I don't know what day this game fell on, but like I guess in the midst of 162 games, so yeah, we're gonna see this again. So it's not that big of a deal, but I do understand the fact that this was Juan Soto coming back to the Yankees, and I think he got booed.
Oh yeah, he did. He got booed a lot, especially he took $5 million more on top. It was like a $700+ million deal.
Yeah.
It was $5 million was the difference between the Mets and the Yankees. Same city.
He's about his money.
It's $5 million. I'm just saying it's a lot of money unless you're making $700 million. The Reds lost 1-0 last night, which is fourth 1-0 loss for them this year. I think they had like 3 in a row, right? Earlier in the season.
They was on a, 6-game winning streak, I think?
Five-game
winning streak.
Well, I mean, they were playing the Pirates, so you'd have thought. They've been shut out now 8 times in 50 games, which is unfortunate because they're starting pitching. The last week that they were on that run, the rotation had a 1.41 ERA in those six. Even last night, they still only allowed one run, right? That's across 32 innings.
Lights out.
Yeah. Their rotation is pitching great right now.
Isn't Hunter Green hurt?
He's coming back. I think this week is probably slated to make a start like Friday.
Pitching this well without their ace.
Yeah. That's the Reds. They have everything they need. Not everything they need. Pitching-wise, starting rotation-wise,
it must be the Terry Francona type thing. You know?
I'm just saying, they're top two or three in the National League in starting rotation, I think, when Hunter Green is healthy. And all it's going to come down to for me with the Reds is, can you get consistency from the plate? And
you know what,
so far this year, they haven't.
You know what that sounds like? The Cleveland Guardians for the past 10 years. Yeah,
how many years, right? By the way, Guardians have had it rough. Their game versus the Twins Monday was suspended in the fourth inning. Twins were up 2-1 in that game. These are in Minnesota. So then they tried to play it yesterday. Well, that all got washed out. The suspended game and yesterday's game. Yesterday's game is going to get played in September. Today at 12:10, I think, they're going to try to start from the fourth inning, the suspended game from Monday. They get that in, then they're going to go 30 minutes later and actually play the game that is scheduled for today. We'll see if that all happens. Meanwhile, I think Gavin Williams gets the start in game 3 of this series, which would be really the second game played. They're going to try to bullpen the rest of the other game, whatever. Guardians have to, it'd be nice if they could actually play some baseball, but maybe they need that after the kind of stretch they just had. It might be nice to have a couple days to just reset and try to go at it now.
I hate coming in here because I have to hear about it every time. Ooh, the Reds swept the Guardians. Good for the Reds. I'm glad for them.
Reds today, by the way, I think 12:30 for their final game against the Pirates. So yeah, there you go. Shaquille O'Neal is helping conspiracy theorists. I'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We're noticing some delays. This is going to be happening on 670 West, just beyond US 23 North and 4th Street because of crash right there. Again, the right shoulder is blocked if you're heading out this area. Looks a little bit slow, but nothing too concerning, again, for your Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Brain Albizu with your fan traffic.
The only contraband hiding in Tybus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971. By the way, you can join us for the inaugural 97.1 The Race. That too. 97.1 The Fan, The Race, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. 5K run, 1 mile walk happening June 21st at Otterbein University in Westerville. We can do it. You can do it. I'll be there. Tyvus will be there. Common Man will be there. Eric Reeser will be there. 10TV's Adam King is going to run the race in a suit and tie. Yeah. You could be a part of all of that. Come on out. Sign up now, 971thefan.com. Again, it's the 5K, it's the 1 mile walk, and there's a 9.71K if you want to attempt that. All that is on Saturday, June 21st, Otterbein University in Westerville, 971thefan.com to sign up today.
Tim is in the chat judging me.
What's he judging you on?
He said that, wow, Ty is going on vacay less than 2 weeks into the show. Way to work, my man.
Timmy Hall is going to let you have it. By the way, I've got beef with Common Man and Timmy.
Oh.
I was listening to their show yesterday, and Mike was railing on the fact that Wendy's, who I love, Wendy's has put their beef apparently in the grocery stores.
Okay.
And you can go buy now like the square quarter pound patties, like what they serve at the restaurant. You can buy those at the, you know, at the grocery store and then take them home and make them. And they said, who wants that when you can just have it right there at the window? You drive through and they'll make it however you want with whatever toppings. It's Wendy's. Why would you want to make it at home?
Those two are lazy. That's what that sounds like.
Well, I mean, I'm lazy, but here's where I think they are wildly inconsistent. Because right before that, they had been talking about how they both love to make their own Chex Mix. Because Timmy and Mike both they'll get all the ingredients for Chex Mix. They put it in the oven. They sprinkle their salt on it. And the reason, because I've said to them, like, why don't you just buy a bag of Chex Mix? They're like, no, ours is better because we season it with what we want and we do our own stuff. Okay, then don't you want a Wendy's burger that you can take home and put whatever you want on it? You can make it your own way.
I'm
just saying, be consistent.
Well, what you're saying makes sense. Those two have none of it.
I know that. I know.
They're a mess.
They were like, it wasn't like, oh, I wouldn't buy that. It was like, whoever came up with this should be arrested. And I'm like, what? No, let me have the beef. Give me your beef. Timmy and Mike, I will take your beef any day of the week. Bring it. Let's go. So So Wendy's, I'm glad you're putting your hamburger. I may only buy it once or twice, but imagine you roll up to your barbecue. Someone comes out to you're having people over. They're like, do you want some burgers? I got the Wendy's beef. Oh, you got the squares? Yeah, I do. What if you want Munster on it? Do they have a burger at Wendy's with Munster cheese on it? I don't think so. I'm not saying it'll be good, but you could try. Do they have caramelized onions? They used to. Dave Thomas loved the onions. They don't do that anymore.
And they're marketing at a great time. Weather's about to start breaking soon. It's about to be hot. Saying. Them grills going to be fired up. I don't know why
They were fired up about
that. Shame on Common Man and Tim.
I want the beef. Give me your Wendy's beef. Wow. Please. I want to take it home. I also want it at the drive-thru. I like it when they make it. But then what if I'm at home and I just decide it's 10 o'clock at night?
Maybe I want a burger. A different seasoning on there. Shame on them.
I agree. That's right. So Shaquille O'Neal's helping out the conspiracy theorists. He had this quote. This is from I guess it was just a couple days ago. He mentioned this. He was on a podcast where he relayed a story about David Stern, former NBA commissioner. Now, you know, what was that, last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever the draft, it was just last week, the draft lottery happened. Mm-hmm. And we had that situation where Dallas Mavs had a 1.8% chance. They trade away Luka Doncic. Mm. Cooper Flagg is the number one presumptive pick. And they get him to come to Dallas. And it's you trade away your best player. Look, now we've replaced him for you. Yay. This seemed like a conspiracy theory. Although we know that the NBA has a fully vetted program. They have journalists watching it. It's all done by like an accounting firm. It's all on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop us from guessing that maybe there's some way that they've rigged this to help the teams they want to help.
I'm just saying.
LeBron James was just saying.
He
said that. He said that about Derrick Rose going to Chicago, him going to Cleveland.
Yes.
Patrick Ewing to the Knicks, all that stuff. Yeah. So Shaq says this is what happened with him and David Stern. He said they were out 3 months before that year's draft. They were in a meeting. And he said, David Stern says to me, hey, can't wait for you to come to the NBA. Then he pulled me off to the side and said, do you want to play where it's cold or where it's hot? He asked me that. Yeah, he did. He asked me that. And I was like, hot. And he smiled and I smiled. That's the end of the quote. And then he said a few weeks later,
he's at the Orlando, they pulled Orlando that
in the draft lottery and it's Orlando. And he said, well, because I think the other teams, I know one of them was Charlotte. I can't remember who the other city was, but it was definitely a cold weather. It might have been Minneapolis, might have been Minnesota. Mm. But it was one of those type of cities where, if they had won it, he definitely would have been going to a cold weather city. Now, Charlotte, if that one had been pulled, you'd say, well, it's that's kind of warm weather-ish. I mean, it's not like it gets as cold here, but it's certainly not the tropics in Charlotte. They get snow occasionally. But Orlando, I mean, that is, you're in Florida. That's a warm weather city. There's no doubt.
It's funny because I was talking to Jason Lloyd. You know, Jason Lloyd works for the Athletic. And he was saying that he said he's been in the room when they do like the lottery. And he said he can confirm that it is not rigged.
Oh, I believe it's not. Like, I just believe it's not.
Like, this, the Dallas thing, like, come on, man. There's no way that you lose a CWB and then win the CWB right back. Like, come on. Like, that's ridiculous.
What is a CWB again?
A cold white boy.
That's right.
They lost Luka and they replaced it with Cooper Flagg. Like, that's ridiculous.
It seemed like it was, especially because he didn't just go anywhere. He went to the Lakers, which is, I'm sure, of the destinations. If the NBA could pick, where would you want Luka Doncic to go? It'd be the Knicks, the Lakers, or like it's one of the New York teams, one of the LA teams. But the Lakers obviously are a marquee franchise.
Anytime I see big time trades like that, it blows my mind, because Chris Paul was supposed to go to the Lakers with Kobe, and it got vetoed
by who?
David Stern.
Yes, like he jumped in front of that and said no.
Some of these things that go down now, I'll be like, yeah, but y'all couldn't let Chris Paul go to LA.
That was from that was New Orleans, right? The Hornets. That's right.
New Orleans Hornets.
When they were like moving all over the place because of the displacement, and then the Thunder came down to New Orleans, right? Wasn't that it?
No, the Thunder is.
What
the
am
Super
I talking
Sonics.
About? Yeah, what am I? No, there was a thing. Didn't they have? I got to think.
Bone, the
help me out, Bodie. I'm so confused.
Yeah, I think New Orleans went to OKC or something like
that's
that.
That's what it
Hurricane
was.
Hurricane Katrina.
That's what it was. Yeah. They moved him out there for a hot minute.
Okay.
And then they said, hey, Oklahoma City could host a team. And then what do you know? Clay Bennett buys the Sonics and moves him down there. That's what it was.
Mm.
All right. I knew there was something there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I have a contender for the worst. That was the worst segment of all time. I have a contender for the worst boss of all time. I'll tell you about that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We are continuing to watch a crash happening right now on 670 westbound. This is just beyond US 23 north by the 4th Street exit. A right shoulder is blocked because of that crash there, causing a little bit of delays, but nothing too concerning for your Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Brain Albizu with the fan traffic.
Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, our friends over at Prime Sports Ohio, they have quite an offer for you. Prime Sportsbook Ohio, it is the place to go to place your wagers on sports betting. You can get a welcome deposit match offer right now. Deposit up to $400. Get up to $400 in matching bets. Yep, Prime Sportsbook will match your deposit 100% up to $400 in bonus bets. They don't expire for a year. A lot of the other places, it's 30 days, 60 days. They give you a whole year to use these bets. You can place your money in now, start making bets, and get your bonus bets during football season, during next year's hockey or basketball season. It's all there for you at Prime Sportsbook Ohio. Tyvus, what are you looking at on Prime Sports today?
Well, you know, there's a big playoff game today in the NBA with the Pacers and the Knicks with game one. I'm looking right now on Prime Sports, and right now I'm liking the over 224 and minus 115. If you know the Pacers, they do a great job of pushing the tempo. They're going to score a lot of points, which ultimately means that the Knicks is going to have to score a lot of points. I think that they go clear over 224 today, total points.
I like it. Download the Prime Sports Ohio app or visit primesportsbook.com to get started today. Additional terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and present in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Please play responsibly. Tyvus, have you ever had a job where you had an awful boss? Like just someone that you said, oof, I don't like working here. I'm uncomfortable. I mean, you played college and pro football. You must have had someone that rubbed you the wrong way. You don't have to say who it was.
The only time, there's only been one time in my life that I've played football and it wasn't fun. It came off as a job. And that happened to be with the Indianapolis Colts.
Now,
granted, the Indianapolis Colts at that time, they had just, they were renovating their facility, so the facilities was terrible, and they was trying to change those, and you know, Chuck Pagano was like kind of on the hot seat a little bit. So this, the whole thing was just like, I'm out here like, what is this? Like, I'm coming from Seattle, where Seattle was just fun. Like, all April, fun. Like, it was, I wanted to come to the facility because I knew how much fun I would have to go to Indy, where it was like the complete opposite.
Interesting.
I was like, yeah, this is not great. But I'm sure it's different now. But
well,
like,
yeah,
back when I was there, this was 2017, I was like, yeah, this is not fun.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that, especially if they're renovating the facility. What made Seattle fun, out of curiosity? Like, when you walked in.
Pete preached fun, okay? Like this. For example, you'd be sitting in a team meeting. You'd be sitting in a team meeting, and out of nowhere, you'll see a picture of you versus somebody else on the team. We're going to get Tyvus versus Cam Chancellor right now in basketball. Come on. And they got like a basketball hoop in the thing. Now you got to sit there. You get 30 seconds to shoot and make as many as you can. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, I can see that being fun. Yeah, it's unpredictable.
Yeah, it is.
It's those competition.
You get those type of things. You know, they got a safe place. They go safe place. Like, somebody new come to the team and they say, you know, this is, Pete gets up and he goes, you know what? This is a place where this is bigger than football. You know, we care about who you are as an individual. Get up here and share your life story.
Yeah.
And the guy get up there and he'll be like, well, you know, my name is Tyvus. You know, I grew up without my father, blah, blah, blah. It's been a struggle. And out of nowhere, Pete goes, shut up. We don't care about that stuff. Everybody start. You are here to get interceptions, to stop virus. It would be hilarious. Yeah, that's what everybody would do. Just bust out laughing. Like, wow.
That's pretty great. I had no idea that Pete Carroll was like
so
that.
So I leave an environment like that funny. Where the head coach is playing around like that to Indianapolis, where it's much more like they're trying to figure things out. Everything's by the book. Like, it was just not.
And everybody's probably nervous because they thought we could be getting fired at any time.
Right.
There wasn't a confidence level, it sounds like. Plus, Chuck Pagano was telling you not to have sex before a big game.
Yeah, he was out of his mind.
Yeah, so that's that.
He's out of his mind.
Pete Carroll, we were talking about conspiracy theories with Shaq. Pete Carroll likes himself a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah, he does.
I remember that. You probably heard some of those, I'm guessing. Well, if you've ever had a bad boss at work, this has got to be up there with the most awkward work environments you could ever have. There is a startup company called One Taste. The founder of it is Nicole Dadone, D-A-E-D-O-N-E. Nicole Dadone, I'm going to say.
Okay.
She's 57 years old. The former head of sales for One Taste is Rachel Churwitz. She's 44 years old. They both been charged each with one count of forced labor conspiracy, whatever that means. Witnesses took the stand in court in New York City this week, detailing some of the issues that were abounding at this company. One former worker, who was referred to only as Max to protect their identity, told the court that Churwitz, the sales manager, sent two staff members off to have sex during a sales meeting. Now, one firm, it should be noted, is what they called an orgasmic meditation startup company. Apparently, they were a company that taught you how to do some kind of sex meditation, I guess. So this was in the wheelhouse of kind of what the business was trying to promote healthy sex lives for people. Okay. However, I don't think that necessarily applies to the people who work for you having to.
So they was trying the methods. They was trying the product.
Well, what apparently this sales manager, now they have all denied this. The sales manager, the founder said this never happened. But according to the testimony in court, this worker said, I felt so sick about all of this when I saw this happening. Basically, what they alleged was that in this sales meeting, there was a lot of tension and that they have different branches. They had one in New York. I think they had one out on the West Coast. So they were there to help the New York branch do a little better with sales.
Okay.
And in this meeting, that's when the chief of sales stood up and said, you know what? There's a lot of tension in this room, and it's because of you two. You and you have a lot of sexual tension, and you need to go relieve that right now. Mm. Get out of here and go have sex with each other. And so the rest of the people are sitting around the table going, is this happening? And apparently it was. And so then they left, and then they supposedly went off and did the deed.
Did they come back and have a good meet? Because that matters.
Well,
that
I mean, it's a results-driven business, right? I mean, sales especially, that's the thing. Now, in this testimony, Max, the person who only was referred to as Max, said that apparently one of their partners also worked in this office and was in that meeting.
So
your spouse, your life partner, whoever it is sitting there as the boss says, these other two people need to get it on. You stay here. And then they said that person had like a nervous breakdown in the go figure where.
Oh, this person is fired. This boss has got to be fired.
Well, that's why there's a lawsuit. That's why they're all in court. Because some of these people were saying, this cannot be real.
That's exactly.
This can't be happening.
I would be sitting there like, is this, where is Ashton Kutcher? That's what I would say. Like, this, I know what this is. This is punked.
Oh, you're getting punked.
Yeah,
right.
There's no way that this is really going down right now.
No. I have so many questions about this.
I couldn't imagine if my wife was in a meeting and the boss told my wife and some other dude to go ahead.
No, that would
or
be.
Or some other gal to go ahead. I would look,
right.
I would look at my boss like, first of all, it ain't even about the job no more.
No, it's this crazy. My first thought is if you're the person whose partner is told to go off and do that and you're sitting in the meeting seeing this, one, you're saying, my boss is insane. Two, what the hell are you doing? Wait a second. This is work. We can quit. You're like, no, she said I got to go off. Sorry.
What if it was flipped? What if it was you that they told you to go?
Are you kidding me? My wife would rip him off right there. She'd hold him up for everybody. Be like, try it again. See what happens. I don't mess around. I'd be a Ken doll in 2 seconds. I'd just be whoop. It'd all be gone.
Yeah.
She'd say, not on you. If I even grabbed my phone, like I wouldn't even have to get out of the chair and she would annihilate me. If they said, T-Bone, you and so-and-so get out of here, go relieve your sexual tension. And my wife was sitting at the table. If I even grabbed my phone to be like, if I even leaned like I was getting up, it would be over. She would be like, I'm calling the lawyer and I'm killing you. Like that's it. In that order, I think, to get the divorce started and then murder me. I don't know what's best, but that's what she would do.
I can't believe that this happened. I'm almost in shock.
I am too.
You sure that this is real?
This is testimony from the case. Now, again, the people who founded this company, which, by the way, I want to reiterate.
I've never heard of this before.
This company, they do orgasmic meditation. That's what they teach.
I understand that, but like.
One Taste is the name of this company. They allege that they didn't do any of this, but one of their workers says it did.
Let me.
Also, I have for years had ideas and thoughts on maybe I could start a small business. And then the first hurdle I come to is, well, you know, but financing a small business, getting a loan, getting people who believe in you to like start your small business, that's very difficult to do. How in the world did orgasmic meditation not only get startup money, they had enough money to get a West Coast and an East Coast branch.
Sex sales.
Orgasmic meditation.
You got to get them in the mood. Like it's, they call that what's that called? The pre stuff.
Foreplay.
Foreplay.
Okay,
I wasn't sure.
I mean, that's a Tri-State Men's Health question. I think there, buddy. That's a free plug for them. I don't even get paid.
Tri-State had you in there for an hour, so they got the pre, the during, and the post.
Dan the man says, what's the name of the company again? Asking for a friend. Sure. Do your own research on that. They're probably getting a lot of business today, even though it sounds like I don't even know if they're a company anymore.
They on Netflix. You know that?
They are?
I'm looking.
What do you mean they're on Netflix?
It says Orgasm Inc., The Story of One Taste. It's a documentary Netflix.
So this has been I wonder if that has any of this in it. I wonder if they've covered any of this ground or, because it sounds like this is breaking news from the courtroom.
This came out in 2022, so.
Well, we have to watch this. I have to.
We got to do some research.
Out. Yeah, what's going on? Orgasmic meditation. A lot of people are calling this show, Tyvus, Orgasmic Meditations. Yeah. Bill Belichick's girlfriend, she has deprived us of television gold. I am very pissed off about this. We will talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there. According to our Time Saver traffic map, we are noticing another crash. This one happening just outside of Grove Point, I-270 southbound beyond 70. Left shoulder is blocked out there. Noticing a lot of red in the area this morning, so take it nice and slow if you're making your way out the door. I'm 10TV's Brian Albizu with your fan traffic.
Two men with five combined offspring. None of them have penises. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
You can hop in the YouTube chat. Just go to YouTube. Search up 971 The Fan. We're right there. You can see our, well, Tyvus's beautiful face. My interesting, I'm going to say interesting face. You can see my hat I'm wearing today. Wearing my New Orleans Pelicans hat.
I love how you are very versatile. Like, you wear different.
You know why? I have this hat because I love birds. That's really why. Like, it's nothing about, I mean, Zion Williamson's great. That's fine. I hope he has a great career. Maybe he'll do it somewhere else.
I doubt he will be in New Orleans.
I doubt that very seriously as well. You know what would be a good landing spot for him? Detroit. Pistons could use a guy like him. If he can stay healthy, I'd trade some dudes and get him there with Cade Cunningham and see what they can do.
That'd be pretty nice.
East is open,
but
baby.
He can't stay healthy either.
So. No, that's true. You're going to have a lot of ouchie.
They
got to
send him somewhere where it's like healthy food. In the South right now, so it's a lot of fried food and all those things. He's got to go somewhere where he need to go more West Coast.
Are we shaming him for being a little overweight, Tyvus?
I'm not shaming him.
You can. He's a pro athlete. I feel that's fine.
He has a weight. Like, he said right. He has a weight.
He does have a. He knows that. That's fine. All right. So you and I were talking before in the breaks, like. It feels like every day we've been doing the show, which we did, you know, last week was our first week together. It's Wednesday now. I feel like every show we've done, even the ones we did previously in the afternoons, we had a story about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. It feels like on every one of these show sheets that we have done, yes. Which is my fault and your fault for like bringing it up constantly. But every day it seems like there's a new turn in this story. And so the latest on this is that there was an article in the New York Times. And it covered a lot of ground. But one of the main things that came up in this article was that apparently Jordan Hudson is the reason that the Hard Knocks series got blown up. Remember in North Carolina, there was going to be a Hard Knocks college version.
Yes.
Involving Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. And, of course, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. It was a big deal when it first came out.
Yeah. Belichick said at the end, Hard Knocks is training camp and we're not training camp. That's why they're not doing it. Right. They said, yeah, it just doesn't work out for what we want to do and what they want to do. So at the end of the day, that's why this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. OK, well, according to multiple reports, but also the New York Times had an article on this. It was Jordan Hudson, who has become kind of Bill Belichick's girlfriend, obviously, but also
fiance.
Well, that's. That supposedly came out yesterday, too. They said that...
Allegedly
that they have... She's told people that they are engaged, which... All right. We'll see if that could go very well, I'm sure. I'm sure that's a great thing. But apparently she played an instrumental role in blowing up the Hard Knocks deal. Because she said that she had to have content approval and partial ownership of the show. And, of course, Belichick would have... presumably been on board with that, because if she's saying she wants that, I'm sure Bill Belichick's not going to say, we don't need that, right? That, can you imagine how much good television we could have watched? We could have seen Bill Belichick, like, forget all this stuff with his girlfriend. We could have seen, like, guys doing TikTok dances in the locker room, and then Bill Belichick walks in and just screams at him. And we could have seen that. We could have seen the real side of Bill Belichick dealing with college kids. But then I thought, we already are seeing that with Bill Belichick dealing with his almost college-age girlfriend, who's now, like, running his life. So I guess we're getting some of that anyway.
I would love to be a fly on the wall at North Carolina right now, because there's no way that Jordan Hudson is just doing all this. There's no way that she's running this thing like this. I find it hard to believe that he's allowing her to just have all this power. There's no way.
Are you saying you don't think that these reports are accurate? Or do you think that... Are you saying that, like, she wouldn't be doing any of this unless Bill Belichick said, yes, this is what I want. This is what I agree with. This is good.
Both.
Okay.
Both. I do think that I just don't think that there's no way that every time something comes up with North Carolina, it has something to do with what Jordan Hudson did. There's no way that that's true. Like everything.
Well, right.
Hard Knocks, CBS, everything. Just every report that comes out is always, it's not just Bill Belichick. It's because of Jordan Hudson. And like, I just don't think that that's the case.
I tend to think a lot of this reporting is accurate. What I do think is that Belichick, for sure, Jordan Hudson, I'm sure, is very opinionated, very strong-willed person, very independent, good for her. Those are all good qualities to have. But the idea that she's leading Bill Belichick around and Bill Belichick doesn't know what's happening, that's stupid. I've seen people who said, people are worried about Bill Belichick. His family is worried about him. He is a grown 74-year-old man, whatever he is. He knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
He has decided that he wants to date someone much younger than him. Let him live. Lots of people have done that before. He's also decided that based on their conversations, she's good for business for him. She's good for managing his emails. She's good for dealing with publicists when it comes to the book deals. She apparently is now good with talking with executive producers for NFL films or whoever, HBO, and saying, yeah, I don't want this deal to happen because of X, Y, and Z. Unless you meet those conditions, we're out. He believes that's all good for him. So maybe that's, whether that's right or wrong, he's making that decision, don't we think? Right? I mean, I tend to think he's saying, Jordan Hudson, I give you full control over whatever you want. That's how much I care about you. That's how smitten I am, whatever the case. But he's aware of that.
Didn't he make her like the SID for right now?
Well, he said that they had no one to deal with when they were getting emails about certain things that a sports information director at a college would tend to handle. He said, can you copy her on all these emails? Because he didn't want to deal with it. So he said, let her handle it. And then he said, but no, she's not running the SID department. They didn't say if they've hired an SID. Maybe they have. But it all looks like Bill Belichick is basically saying, Jordan Hudson, you can run my life. I just want to coach football. And we'll find out if that works when they actually play these games. But that's still months away. And every day it seems like there's some new story about Jordan Hudson.
They need to get to July like fast. They need to get to the end of July so they can get to training camp because that's the only, like, when they end football season and Bill is actually out there coaching, like, that's the only time you really don't hear too much. Because it's like, okay, we see Bill with the whistle. We see Bill going through instructing everything. So, all right, the Bill is doing that part. But if she out there with a whistle, and that's just, you're going to mess up everything.
We're on the same wavelength on that. Because I thought, you say that it will all end when that happens. But the number one thing I'm curious about, and every photographer is there a whistle on her neck or not? Is there a ring on her finger and a whistle on her neck? Those are going to be the two questions at training camp, because you know she'll be there.
Which if
she'll be walking around, she will be very prominently involved.
Let me ask you, if you was Bill, would you give her a whistle and let her be out there on purpose just to stir the pot?
Yes. I think there's a part of this that we're not talking about, which is Bill Belichick claims he's this curmudgeon, and yet everyone you talk to who's ever played for him says, oh, you don't even know Bill Belichick. He is such a different guy behind the scenes, all these other things. He's not like you think he is. That would not surprise me at all. If he is a guy who says, I know what's going on in reality, she knows what's going on in reality, but we love stirring the pot and getting you all worked up. And I don't mean like him going to the talent show thing, like the beauty competition.
So far,
he's going to that because he cares about her. He would definitely do.
He gonna sell a lot more books than he would have, and he gonna have more people tuning into that first game than he would have. So yep,
that's right.
Technically, it's working.
I'm telling you right now, if we get to that first day of training camp and she has a whistle and is just standing there,
I'm gonna laugh.
Not only will we laugh, it will be the number one photo on ESPN. It will fuel hours of content across ESPN, Fox, and a dozen radio stations, right? Like, it's a non-stop content farm right now.
I'm almost rooting for it now.
Well, that's right. I have always said about certain phenomenon in sports, like, well, okay, I mean, I don't want to, this is probably not fair to lump him into this, but like Travis Hunter, okay. I feel like, if you could play him 90% on both sides of the football in the NFL, I'd love to watch it. I don't want it to be my team, though, that tries that experiment in case it fails. I am enjoying watching this Bill Belichick. Take Jordan Hudson out of it. I'd be mortified. But since it's not, it's just fun for us to sit back and go, "Wee, let's see what happens on this roller coaster."
That they let it go on here.
No. Are you? Oh, here?
Yeah, no, they would let it go.
No. He would have quit by now. Don't you think? Someone would have come up to him and said, "Bill, we don't do that here. Like, North Carolina is just like, as long as it's not the basketball program, do whatever you want. Or the soccer program. Soccer program's really good there, too. Outside of that, we don't really care. Football program, they're fun. They're frisky. But, yeah, we got Bill Belichick. That's a fun headline. Yay. It's not the same as Ohio State. No. They would never have let this. Like, the whole sideshow, it would have been very quickly said, Bill, what do you need to make this never happen again? Like, we will gladly do whatever you want. We'll give her a position here at the school. We'll do whatever you want to do. She's not going to be front and center in this whole thing.
T-Bone, he's in love.
That's fine. He's allowed to be in love. They stay
in the cupcake phase. You know, the cupcake phase before something hits the fan, you're smitten. Like, that's where they are now.
It's been a couple years, though. I mean, they've been dating behind the scenes for a while. Now it's just becoming public.
It still seems like they're in the cupcake phase. Maybe. Somebody's going to do something that's going to hit the fans, and then that's where things going to change.
All right. Yeah, that's fair. I'm curious to see, and if that meltdown happens, chances are we will hear about it because we're hearing about everything else in their relationship right now. But yeah, we'll get a nice hard confirm on the engagement story, I'm sure, in the next few days. She'll have on Instagram a photo where they've done it.
TMZ is outside their crib right now waiting on her to walk out with that ring.
100%. Yeah. That's a fascinating story to me. I know it may not be fascinating to everybody, but to me, I'm in on every day. I got to see if there's something with them. And it usually doesn't disappoint. The buzzer's coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and welcome to your Wednesday. We are noticing that crews just cleaned up a crash happening on 270 southbound, just beyond 70 right there. The left shoulder was blocked for a little bit, but as we mentioned, crews just left the scene, so things are moving along as they should for this Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Brian Albizu with your Fan traffic.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Check out the Reds today. They'll be playing early game, 12:05, getaway day for them against the Pirates. That is on ESPN Columbus, the Fan's HD2, 1460 AM. You can hear that game right after noon if you're a Reds fan. Of course, talking to our guy who loves baseball, big baseball guy himself, Bo Bishop, joining us. What's up, Bo?
Used to, boys. I was box score kid. I'd do it when I was a kid, get the newspaper in the morning, do the season-long box score of the Dodgers. Loved it. Loved it.
What happened to you? Why no likey baseball these days?
Well, I think what happened was my kids, you know, they gravitated out of it. And then they went to lacrosse and then I only have so much headspace. So like I'm not smart enough that I can be an expert on all this stuff. And so that's one that I kind of viewed as like I started to lose touch with it, and then my kids didn't play it. And so when all of that started to happen, and it was like, I don't know if it makes sense to do a whole lot of baseball talk on sports talk radio anymore. It doesn't seem like it does. So it was just something I pivoted away from. And but as a kid, I loved it. I played it all the way up, and it's just something that has phased out as I've gotten older.
What position did you play, Bo?
Shortstop.
Yeah, you come off as a shortstop to me. I was the best first baseman, and then they told me that I had to go to the field because I was too fast for first base.
Yeah, you're center field. Aren't you Willie Mays?
But I like first
base. Come on, chase it down.
Bo, listen, the reason that I played first base is because I thought baseball was born at a point in time in my life. And if you play first base, that ball has to come to you. So you're in the action every time somebody hit the ball.
It's funny you say that because I think that's why my kids went lacrosse. Is they were playing them both at the same time. And in baseball, when you're really young and you go to like kid pitch, nobody can throw strikes. So you just kind of stand there unless you're the pitcher, the catcher, the first baseman, to your point. And you have to bat like 12 kids through because, there's 11 kids on the team. So everybody bats. So like you might not bat for 3 innings and you get kids who can't throw strikes. Meantime, like for lacrosse, for them, it's constant perpetual motion. And I think that's what kind of won out for all of them. So
What do you think of this? Because I know, obviously, you have the background in TV. You know TV very well. We were talking earlier in the show that the WNBA game with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the lead game for that, they were like at $2.7 million. Good number for them. Best in 20 years. Baseball, Yankees and Mets, Sunday Night Baseball, $2.5 million. Doesn't mean like WNBA is bigger than baseball now, but I think it's an interesting note to just kind of point out on a linear progression and say that that is a big kind of turning point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what it is I've been saying this for a while. I really believe it, Brother Bone. I think baseball, NBA to a certain extent, NHL absolutely, have become hyper-regionalized. In other words, you care about your team only. When your team loses, you're not watching the rest of it because you don't have to anymore. And so I think what happens with Yankees Mets is if you're from New York, you care about those two teams, or if you're you and you like the Mets. But there are fewer and far between of those who are people who are not in those markets, who are not expats, who watch those teams and care about those teams. So I think all of those sports have become much, much more regional, where you kind of only care about your team. There's a billion factors that could probably have led to that. But I think that's the case in those. And I think Caitlin Clark is just a phenomenon. I mean, last summer I said she's Tiger Woods in the sport, from the sense of people ghosts flock to see her. She transcends the wheel. She's not a spoke on the wheel like Daenerys Targaryen. She broke the damn wheel. and people just do. They just watch. When she's on, they watch. And it's just is what it is at this point. We've got through 2 years now of data on her that's pretty remarkable. So the one irony of all of this is the most regional of all sports, of course, is college football, and it's become national.
Yeah.
So they've kind of like inverted, if you're a Top Gun fan, where you have, you know, these other sports have gone incredibly regional, but college football has become a national sport.
I could theorize about why that is all day, but one reason I think that's happened is because hatred is a stronger force than love for a lot of sports fans. Like, there's a lot of people that'll tune in to watch the Buckeyes, Alabama, Texas, not because they're rooting for them, but because they're like, I hope they lose. I hope they give it to them today. And then if the game is anywhere close, then you get all the people who are on social media who say, oh, look, Ohio State's struggling against Indiana in the third quarter. If that was happening, it didn't last year. But, you know, that kind of thing feeds it as